The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we're going to have to do something first here. This, and then the intro.
Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, November 4th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the FBI on Thursday said it received credible information about a broad threat to synagogues in New Jersey, a warning that prompted some municipalities to send extra police officers to guard houses of worship. The nature of the threat was vague. The FBI Newark office released a statement urging synagogues to take all security precautions to protect your community and facility, but wouldn't say anything about who made the threat or why. The alert was posted after officials discovered an online threat directed broadly at synagogues in New Jersey, a law enforcement official said. The posting did not target any specific synagogue by name. The Jewish Federation of South Jersey, which helps the security of synagogues, released a statement saying, "We are deeply troubled by the recent increase of anti-Semitism across our country, and we condemn hate speech in all of its forms. We are fortunate to live in a thriving Jewish community, and in times like this, we stand together." Public warnings about nonspecific threats against Jewish institutions made by a variety of groups, including Christian supremacists and Islamic extremists, aren't unusual in the New York City metropolitan area, and may many turn out to be false alarms. But the area has also seen deadly attacks. Prosecutors in Montgomery and Bucks counties announced the dismantlement of a gun trafficking ring that they allege put over 30 illegal weapons on the streets using so-called straw purchasers to buy firearms from local gun shops. The Robinson brothers were charged in the case, county prosecutors announced during a joint press conference on Thursday. Investigators allege that 20-year-old Clayton was the ringleader with sales help from 31-year-old Julian and 18-year-old Kenneth. Authorities said Brett Porter of Jenkintown, Maurice Baker of Bristol, and Joseph Lynch of Georgia, still being sought were the straw purchasers buying guns legally for illegal purposes. Montgomery County District Attorney Kevin Steele was joined by his counterpart from Bucks County, Matt Weintraub, on Thursday. Investigators said the probe started after Clayton Robinson was involved in a traffic stop, which led to a raid of the Robinsons' home along the 800 block of Penn Avenue in Abington. Of the 30 illegal guns alleged to have been put on the streets by the crime ring, investigators say they only have recovered six of them. Eight styles of women's shoes are being recalled globally by Clarks after tests found toxins in the products, the British retailer announced Thursday. Some samples of these shoes identified excessive levels of the chemical benzidine that are found in dyes and are restricted in some jurisdictions. Prolonged and direct contact with the shoe's upper material can expose the wearer to these chemicals, which are toxic and can cause adverse health effects, Clarks said in a news release. A potential cancer-causing substance, benzidine, is a synthetic chemical that has not been sold in the United States since the mid-70s. The recalled shoes include the Breeze style in the Americas and the Brinkley style elsewhere in all navy or dark navy blue color, and was introduced for the summer-spring 2022 season.
I think all of them, Kathy, look fun and flirty.
Yeah,
I know. I love my Breezy Clarks.
They are fun and flirty, and that's why you have to be careful.
Yes.
And carcinogenic.
Yes, yeah. That too.
People can determine if the shoes need to be returned by checking.
Fun, flirty, and carcinogenic.
Boy, you are toxic, baby.
And I mean in the cancer way.
Yes.
You can check the product's article number, the first eight digits of the 12-digit number under the size and fit information on the label inside the footwear. People who purchase a pair of the recalled shoes can visit their website for a step-by-step guide to getting a refund.
Could you wear socks made out of chemotherapy?
Oh, that might counteract that.
Yeah.
Based in Somerset, England, Clarks was founded in 1825 and operates in more than 100 markets around the world. In sports this morning. The Phillies lost to the Astros 3-2 in Game 5. 5 of the World Series last night in South Philly. Rookie Jeremy Peña hit a go-ahead home run and drove in 2 runs, and the Astros will head home with a 3-2 series lead. The Astros had defensive gems from Trey Mancini in the 8th inning and Chaz McCormick in the 9th, and they moved to the brink of their second championship and first since the scandal-tainted title in 2017. The Phils lost consecutive games for the first time this postseason. Game 6 is tomorrow night back in Houston. Zach Wheeler will get the start for the Phils, and the Astros will send Framber Valdez to the mound. The first pitch is scheduled for just after 8 o'clock. The Eagles also played last night, and they're still undefeated.
There you go.
They improved to 8-0. They improved to 8-0 after they beat the Texans last night in Houston. Jalen Hurts threw for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns, and the Eagles overcame a slow start to win 29-17. C.J. Gardner-Johnson grabbed his NFL best and career-high 5th interception before Hurts threw a 17-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Brown to give the Eagles the lead in the 3rd quarter. The Eagles are back home next Monday night, the 14th, and will host the Washington Commanders. Kickoff will be at 8:15. 9 games into the season, the Sixers are 4-5. They're at home again tonight and host the New York Knicks. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. The Flyers, who have lost 3 games in a row, will stay in Canada this weekend with a game in Ottawa against Claude Giroux and the Senators tomorrow night. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock. And the Union will play for the MLS Cup tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
When they travel to Los Angeles to take on LAFC, the match will begin at 4 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Is that 4 o'clock Eastern time?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good.
You know, if only sports could provide more guarantees, Preston.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Also, if they could provide some sleep occasionally.
Yeah, yeah. Dear God, I am so tired.
It's going to be a day.
Yeah.
It's going to be a day. My throat is roached. I did more yelling last night than I realized that I did. And
you're turning me on, man, though.
Didn't get to bed till like 1:30 this morning.
Gosh. And yeah. Got so up. You just had a few short hours.
Just like, yeah, less than 3 hours.
Oh, all my of you, God. Did all of you stay till the end?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It could have gone either way. I mean, it was a close game, and we were hanging on to hope.
Yep.
Marissa, we were watching the video replay here in the studio while you were doing sports. There was
that catch.
Castellanos had a hit.
It was Realmuto.
Oh, I'm sorry, Realmuto.
Yeah.
I'm totally out of it.
No.
It was in the 9th. From our seats we were, it looked like it went out of the park, and we went crazy.
We started celebrating.
Made a hell of a catch, but I mean, we thought it sucked.
But I was jumping up and down, Preston. Yeah. I was yelling. I was there with your friend Jim, and you and my girlfriend was to my left. I thought that they had tied it up. I thought that it was a home run.
I have video because it was a pivotal moment, and I had it like selfie. I was holding my arm out of that moment when it happened, and the change of I'll show it to
of
you.
Your face?
Oh. Of our faces, like Nick, your hands go over your face, and it was,
I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Well, if you look at it, they're just up one game now, right?
Honestly, Steve.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
listen, I'm not trying to like be. Yeah. Overly optimistic or whatever, the series is not over.
Oh,
it's
I
not.
Agree.
It's really
it is not.
Not.
I agree.
And we have our best starter going tomorrow night. I know that they're down 3-2, but the series is not over.
Yeah.
And the Phillies can win 2 games in a row.
And they've already proved that they can win in Houston.
Yes, they have.
They are.
So,
the Astros are a beatable team. It's not over, and it's not great right now, but it's not over either.
Yeah.
Don't talk to Marissa because she pretty much thinks it's over.
Yeah.
No, just this morning she goes, well, it was a fun run.
It was fun being there last night. I had a blast. Really, this last month of baseball has been fantastic.
It has.
Been so much fun. I've enjoyed every moment of it. Even last night. It was a tough loss last night, but I enjoyed being there. And it was so great to be there with you, Preston, and Casey, and your daughter, and Marissa, and her dad. It was really cool being there.
Yeah. It's like finding a 20 in your winter jacket when you put it on for the first time.
It's a bonus.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be as optimistic as possible.
Yeah, so you're right. It's not over, and we have the weekend, and hopefully Monday morning as we broadcast live from Xfinity Live in the parking lot, we'll be talking about a victory, and we'll be all excited
there we go.
And tired then because we stayed up late and watched that game. So.
I can't believe campout starts on Monday.
Passing by the tent last night was pretty wild.
The structure is up. It's not completed, but it was pretty crazy to see that thing. And juxtaposed to all the crowds out there, I'm like, that thing's big, man.
Yeah.
I've forgotten how big our full-size Camp Out for Hunger setup is.
We've been limited.
Jim had never been down there for that, and I go, yeah, that's us. He's like, that thing? That's where you broadcast from? I'm like, yeah, man, it's an operation.
Yeah, well, he's impressed. You can be impressed, too. If you've never been down, come down to the camp out next week.
Yeah, please do. It's starting up on Monday. So, all right. Besides that, we have a guest on the program this morning. Adam Conover is going to be joining us, performing at Helium Comedy Club. So we'll chat with him. Is he in the studio or is he
in the studio? Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll talk to Adam today around 9 o'clock. And we have our Word of the Week prize to give away. And any prizes that we have sitting around, we'll make sure that we unload before the show is up. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. I have set aside some entertainment stories and a stupid question. I do have a Phillies-related stupid question. We'll keep that going and see if you can win something. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So stupid question this morning, giving away a pair of tickets to see the band live. They are playing Friday, November 18th at the Excite Center. And tickets are sold out, by the way. So let's give them away. Question that I have for you this morning. We'll do a Phillies-related question.
All right.
We've done some World Series questions. We'll do Phillies-related. Which Philly is nicknamed Jimmy Cigarettes? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that, all right? Who on the Phillies roster's nickname is Jimmy Cigarettes? 215-263-WMMR is the number. I'm going to go through some birthdays today, Friday, November 4th. It is Laura Bush's birthday, former First Lady, and she turns 76 years old
today. Do they have a song? I had asked about the Vice President's song.
Does
the First Lady have a song?
I wouldn't think so because she's not an elected official.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Mambo number 5.
Maybe.
I'd love that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Why not?
It'd be so cool.
Yeah, because a mambo, that's a cool beat.
Sure,
and there's a little dance that's, she could have her security.
Absolutely.
Could actually do a dance routine to that.
Like they're going into a wedding in a clever way.
Well, it says Jill Biden apparently has her own Hail to the Chief style entrance theme courtesy of the Marine Corps Band.
There you go.
Okay. So Laura Bush is 76 today. Matthew McConaughey has his birthday. He turns 53 years old. I think it was over maybe last weekend. What's the space movie that he did a couple
of years ago? Oh, Interstellar.
Yeah, that was on.
Yeah.
Carter and I were watching it, and it got to the, the really trippy part.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's going on here? And he actually kind of grasped it better than I did as far as the dimensional stuff went.
There's an explanation that is actually really good. It is elaborate.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could be expected to pick up on all that on a first viewing.
Yeah.
But once I saw this explanation, it made a lot of sense.
Okay.
Once tried to hand me his toothpick.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Remember?
Here, hold this.
He was at...
got a little piece of celery in your...
he had it in his mouth like he always does. And I was interviewing at the Sixers game. And I said, okay, we're going to go in, whatever it was, 10 seconds. And he took out his toothpick and looked at me like almost, had it out, like almost, well, here, take this. And I just looked at him. I just looked at him, turned my head towards the camera. And I think he shoved it in his pocket or held
it. I was going to say, I could not see you grabbing that from his hand.
No
way.
Listen, like he's going to spit his gum in your hand.
Yes, that's what it was like.
Like a little kid. He used to walk around with a toothbrush in his mouth. You remember that?
I do remember that for a little while. Yeah. So Matthew McConaughey is 53 years old today. Loretta Swit's birthday today. She played Hot Lips Houlihan on MASH. You know what? And
she's in the movie. No, Sally Kellerman.
Sally Kellerman.
Yeah.
But I don't remember Loretta Swit from one single thing other than MASH.
Wasn't there the Cagney and Lacey type thing? Wasn't she?
I don't know. If so, I don't remember. Probably. You would know.
Yeah, I think she was. She might have been on Cagney and Lacey, or a similar type. Buddy female cop thing.
Okay. She is 85 years old today. It's also Ralph Macchio's birthday today.
Yep. You're a huge fan.
Man, Cobra Kai. I can't get enough of it. The seasons go too quick.
How good for him that this... In a career... Not that the career was dying, but it reached a plateau. Cobra Kai... reinvigorated everything.
Yeah, and Williams Abga, too. And it felt so, I'm happy for him.
I love it, yeah.
Everybody on that show is just great. So, yeah, is he coming to town, Nick?
He's in town next week. We're trying to get him to come to camp out. I have not gotten a no yet, so I'm working on it as best as possible can. But he's at the Free Library on Thursday the 10th. He has a new memoir out. It's called Waxing On. The Karate Kid and Me, yeah.
That's great.
So, Ralph Macchio in town on Thursday.
The call to give them nuance. The call to give, because they're painted as caricatures in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you add, now you guys are well into, I caught, you know, the first season basically. But that they gave those elements really was a cool call on that aspect. They could have gone, oh, he's still evil and he's the good guy. But they blurred the lines.
And they walked that fine line of keeping it funny but giving it some heart.
Yeah.
Which keeps you coming back.
Yeah.
And it's so well done. So,
maybe at the camp out.
Maybe.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Ralph Macchio is 61 today. It's also Kathy Griffin's birthday today. She is 62 years old.
She beat lung cancer, right?
I'm not sure what type of cancer it was. It might have been, Steve, but yeah, she was. She had some serious health obstacles to overcome. So she turned a year older, so good for her, 62. Jeff Probst's birthday today. Yes.
One of the best jobs in television.
Yeah, totally. But because you get to torture these people and go back to your resort.
You're at the Four Seasons resort across the island, and they're eating rat meat.
Now, listen, we were in whole hog on that show for the first, I don't know, five seasons or so.
I bought the soundtrack to Survivor.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's still on, and it still does really well. I just kind of fell out of that whole routine, but people still love it.
It's a game to the thing that always happens to these kind of shows is that everyone starts to portray the version of the contestant they like the most.
Yep.
So that's what they do. And the first one, for whatever it was, it seemed more genuine. And then it just started to dissipate.
Yep. So Jeff Probst turned 61 years old today. Musically, we have a birthday. It is Chris Difford's birthday today. Singer, guitarist, and lyricist for this band right here, Squeeze.
It seems like every other week there's a member birthday of Squeeze. And there's only really two.
Well, no, you had Paul Carrack as well.
Yeah, I guess.
He was a singer, and I think his birthday was
not They have the most birthdays of any band, Preston.
In fact, this is Paul Carrack singing in this song.
Which song does...
Pull the Muscles from Michelle.
Oh, I love that.
The Black Coffee in Bed and Hourglass. Yeah.
Which one does Glenn Tilbrook sing?
I get Difford and Tilbrook mixed up.
I do too, and I've seen them both in concert separately.
Yeah.
And I still can't distinguish.
One of them's got a really low voice, and the other one is that dude.
Yeah. Paul Carrack, though, is like a massive gun for hire as far as his vocal abilities.
Okay, so picture Chris Difford here. He's the guy that goes, he's got the low voice.
Yeah.
It's no good story, actor. So he is 68 years old today.
Do you want me to do that again?
Thank you. And then the last birthday I saw is Bethany Frankel, the Skinny Girl Cocktails gal.
Who... I think she's the kind of the creative muse for our show, correct? We do a lot of what we do based on what she's doing.
I think so. She was here one day, right?
Yeah.
She was down the hall.
Yeah, and she was super nice. And she made a ton of money just selling that margarita, and like some company
Skinny
bought it.
Skinny water.
Yeah, and so that's where a lot of her wealth came from.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I thought I was booking her as a guest, and it was that stupid Long Island medium lady. The freak is her actual name.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I booked her, and they gave us the time, and I was like, wait a second. That's not Bethany Frankel.
I saw Bethany Frankel at, oh my gosh, what's it called? The nice resort in Clearwater, not the one we stay at.
Oh, the Ramada.
Sand Pearl. The Sand
Pearl. Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
She was at the pool, and they brought the pedicure, whole pedicure
out
set
to
up
her?
Out to the pool so she could get a pedicure.
In front of everybody.
At the pool. Okay. Listen, I don't know. It may be at that place.
Hey, watch. I'm paying someone to wipe my ass.
Well, at that place.
That's the kind of money I have.
But at that place, that might be a service that they provide at the pool. You know, I don't know.
Miss Frankel, you're ass wiping?
So she turns 52 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Which Philly has a nickname of Jimmy Cigarettes? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to Ron for the answer. Hey, Ron.
Hi, guys. A gal.
Hey, man. All right. So who's Jimmy Cigarettes?
That'd be Gene Segura.
Gene Segura, yeah. Hang on. And apparently, that came about from auto-generated closed captioning and mistook his name for James Cigarettes.
No,
instead
really?
Of Gene Segura, yeah.
That's funny.
And therefore, he became Jimmy Cigarettes.
I love that.
Which is excellent. Ron, hang on the line. We're going to set you up. We have a pair of tickets to see live. They're playing Friday, November 18th, the Excite Center inside Parks Casino, Mount Salem. 21 and over show, and tickets are sold out. You can check out the other upcoming great events at parkscasino.com. So on Thursday, Alyssa Scott confirmed she is pregnant with Nick Cannon's 11th child.
11 kids.
Yeah, this will be their second child together and his 11th overall.
Is he like religious, like where he can't get a vasectomy? Is there something,
I don't think that's the reason why? Okay. He is literally, I think he has always had the mission to have a full brood of kids,
yeah.
And he's had with how many different women? Four?
At least.
Right?
Four or five?
Yeah, something
or
like
did,
that.
Did two of them join up for one?
I think he does, Case. I think he's a spiritual person because right. He always calls it like this when he calls it a miracle and
right,
a blessing
yeah.
and things like that, so...
I don't know if he's morally opposed to like contraception and or anything else.
I'm not sure about that.
I mean, because you can't necessarily, unless you do whatever you want, but be morally opposed to contraception, but not morally opposed to multiple like
yeah.
sex partners while not married.
Yeah,
you know,
groups, a daisy chain.
Yeah.
So she posted photos from a nude photo shoot with the Drumline actor to Instagram to announce the news.
I remember when my mother did that; I was so embarrassed.
In the intimate snapshots, Cannon can be seen kissing and touching Scott's belly. She captioned it, a miracle and a blessing.
And the photographer who took that picture is now pregnant with his kid.
Right.
So it never stops.
So these two, remember, they lost their child
yes.
Last year, a baby named Zen. So
there were pictures of them on the beach. They took the baby out for, remember that? It was horrible.
So I mean, obviously hope for better things with this child.
Yeah.
In a surprising turn of events, it was reported on Thursday that Johnny Depp will be the first male to appear in a spotlight moment during Rihanna's Savage X Fenty show. And this comes shortly after Depp's highly publicized defamation trial against ex-wife Amber Heard, which sparked broader conversations about domestic abuse. And considering Rihanna's history as a survivor of domestic violence, this news came as a bit of a shock to many people. Some took to social media to address the situation. To give you an example, one user commented and said the saddest thing about this man's smear campaign that made him win and set women's rights 50 years back with fellow abusers suing their victims is that he got real victims of domestic violence like Rihanna supporting him. He convinced the world that he was the victim. Others chimed in to kind of protect Rihanna as an abuse survivor. For example, someone wrote, "The choice that Rihanna made is frustrating, but in protesting, please keep the attention on Depp's history of violence. There are no perfect victims, but Rihanna is still an abuse survivor, and I don't want to invalidate that."
So I lost the count of what the end result was. Were they both, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, both physical with each other?
Yeah.
Was he physical with her?
Well, I mean, they found in his favor, but it appeared from all the excerpts of testimony that
yeah,
we
yeah.
read, and it all depends on what you believe.
Yeah.
But it sounded like both were abusive to me.
That's what it seemed like to me, but I don't know. And so the only people who know are them.
It was a quote-unquote toxic relationship
right.
for sure on both sides. But
now, both you and I were nothing but Fendi, and we love it.
Yeah,
But it doesn't mean that this is the right choice. Yeah.
The fourth installation of the Savage X Fenty show is set to premiere on Amazon
so
Prime.
Excited.
On November 9th. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, man, that's the same night as Food Trucks and Fireworks.
Oh,
damn it.
We have to compete
well,
with that.
There's that big screen outside of Xfinity Live. We can put it up there.
We can put it on there, yeah. Speaking of, abuse, Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live opened up about being assaulted outside of the Comedy Cellar in New York City last week. So he's speaking about it now, and he said, "This man hit me in the face with something metal."
Brass knuckles he was wearing.
He said,
I reported that like Yoda.
Okay, well, yeah, right. Well, he said, "I thought it was brass knuckles because of the way it cut my nose to the bone." Red said he was gushing blood, and he was treated for two fractures in his nose at Bellevue Hospital following the incident. He said, "A fist don't normally do all of that at one time. So it was safe to assume that I was hit with something." The comedian shared that he does not believe that it was an attempted mugging, but rather a targeted attack.
Huh.
He said, the dude just hit me and ran off and fell down so fast. I don't even know if I fell until I looked at the... I didn't even know that I fell until I looked at the footage.
Could you... brass knuckles, man. I used to have a pair just because it was fun. You know, yeah. I never hit anybody with it, but I thought it was kind of cool. Even then, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this would be a nightmare to get clocked with these.
Yeah. Red added that he would have gone on with his show, which was scheduled to take place at the Comedy Cellar that night, had he not been bleeding so much. He said, if we could have stopped the bleeding, I would have went on stage. I was like, I can't wait to talk about this crap, and I'm glad I waited, but that was my first thought.
It's hard to make people laugh when you're hemorrhaging.
Yeah. Actor Arrow Stephen Amell reportedly went wild in court.
What?
After losing his lawsuit against an animal rescue. A judge ruled that Amell and his wife, Cassandra Jean, were not likely to prevail at a trial against Rescues Rock, an animal rescue that the couple was trying to have moved from its Laurel Canyon location. Source told Page Six that the actor was yelling following the verdict. Another source said he was not pleased and that he left the courtroom and was glaring at the Rescues Rock group. Amell and Jean sued Rescues Rock in September, claiming that the defendants, Kristen Stavola and Jeremy Gardner, were running a large illegal animal kennel operation. They also alleged that the canines bark loudly at all hours of the night and day, continuously waking the Amells, their newborn child, and 8-year-old daughter. Court documents state, in addition to RRI, defendants do not properly sanitize their residential real properties or clean up substantial animal waste, resulting in overpowering stench and odors emanating from the properties and onto the Amell's property. However, the documents also state that as recently as September 21st, City of Los Angeles Animal Services Department conducted an inspection of the premises without incident, citation, or findings of any unlawful activity whatsoever.
So the city's saying that what they're doing is above board.
Yeah, but these guys say it's noisy and it stinks. And they don't want it near them.
Yeah.
That's...
Dogs barking all the time, day and night.
Yeah.
Keeping my kids up.
That's right. It stinks.
He's a lawyer. We know that he handles matrimonial lawsuits.
This is true.
Yeah, but
now he's moving on to regular civil
suits.
Yeah.
Crapping all night. Dogs poop all over the place. Smell.
You're better than that.
So we'll
Jerky
see.
Treats.
We'll see if Rocky can get an appeal or something like that. Modern Family actress Julie Bowen opened up about her romantic past on a recent episode of her Quitters podcast.
She's got a podcast.
While interviewing Becca Tilly, Bowen said, I'm straight. I've always been straight. However, she shared, I was in love with a woman for a while, but she didn't love me back. She liked women, but she didn't like me in that way. What, was she blind?
Yeah.
Julie Bowen is gorgeous.
Huh.
She added, it never really took off, so I never really had to challenge my concept of my sexuality.
I'm sorry, I don't like you that way.
I guess she was feeling, had feelings for that particular person, and it wasn't...
never got physical, never reciprocated.
Yeah. The dream sequence with Julie Bowen and Happy Gilmore, where she's walking out with the pictures of beer.
It's great.
And the white lingerie. This is one of the best fantasies on film ever.
Nick, you know what's one of, I think, an equivalent to that is her in Horrible Boss.
Yes.
Oh, my God, Steve.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She's playing the kind of nympho, Kevin Spacey's nympho wife. It's really good.
Yeah. I like her.
She's good.
Oh my god, that was weird.
What?
Yeah.
He sits right next to me. I don't feel comfortable anymore.
Seriously.
I like you too.
We didn't get much sleep last night. Some of the real emotions are going to come out.
Yeah, lots of sleep.
It's all on the surface today, Kev.
Jason Momoa took to Instagram on Thursday.
What a man!
To remember his late grandmother, Mabel Lemke. He said, I loved making my grandma laugh. It's been a year, and now I miss you, Grams. He had captioned a series of photos with her.
Sounds like a frail thing.
Yeah.
There's a picture. Go back to that one, Nick, on his Instagram. He's got fangs, and he's wearing some kind of a giant bow, and she's cracking up looking at him.
Aw, that's awesome.
That's wonderful. He captioned a series of photos. One of the pictures shows Momoa with his arms wrapped around Mabel, and another shows her sitting inside a Ford Thunderbird convertible. Two of the photos include in his carousel or FaceTime screenshots between the two. He said, I would FaceTime her when I was playing Flip in Slumberland, and she was so giddy seeing me dressed up like a wild animal. He said, today will be hard, but I have the best angels watching over me. So that was a
sweet.
Yeah, sweet little tribute to her. People can't get enough of the new haircut that Zac Efron has.
Oh, my God, I can't get enough of it, Preston.
Well, his role is Kevin Von Erich in The Iron Claw. And Page Six reports after a photo leak showing Efron wearing a tight gray muscle tank with short bangs and hair past his ears, people took to social media comparing him to Lord Farquaad in Shrek.
It's true. It looks a lot like it.
I haven't seen it either. I saw the picture of him, Steve,
Jacked.
Where he's pumped up,
but
I have not seen the hair. So one person tweeted, he looks like if Lord Farquaad hit the weight room. Another one wrote, not Zac Efron becoming Lord Farquaad's. Zac Efron becoming Lord Farquaad's lost brother.
I'll tell you what, he talked about when they did that Baywatch comedy movie with Dwayne Johnson. Mm-hmm. He got into really cut shape, and he said it was so difficult that he was getting lightheaded all the time because you can't, there's no way to live, you know, and to maintain that for the shoot was too much.
Yeah, but he's apparently he's keeping that jacked appearance together. Jennifer Lawrence told the New York Times recently how she and her Hunger Games co-stars, Liam Hemsworth and Josh Hutcherson, would unwind following premiere. She said, the boys and I would always go back to our hotel room and just drink whiskey and get stoned. She said, my mother-in-law.
That's interesting.
She said, my mother-in-law is going to love this. She said, I don't do it anymore, though. I'm a mom. She thought that the four Hunger Games films were fantastic. However, she shared, the only thing that gave me pause was just how famous that it would make me. She also joked that her new Hunger Games prequel, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, makes her feel old as mold. Or it's not hers, it's the, she's not in it, is she?
No, I don't think so. Maybe there's a cameo or something.
So she said, I remember being 21 and thinking, my God, one day they'll redo and remake them, but I'll be so old by then, I'll be dead.
The first movie I enjoyed, they got progressively less fun as they moved along, but that's common.
Yeah, exactly. Cameron Crowe has invited Jimmy Fallon to appear in the Broadway musical adaptation of Almost Famous. On Tuesday, the writer and director of the 2000 film of the same name appeared on The Tonight Show, to talk about the stage show, which is currently in previews. And Fallon had asked Crowe, is my character still in the play? And he replied, I'm really glad that you brought this up because, Jimmy, we love Dennis Hope of the movie. And he said, of course it's in the play. My dream has always been to have you come and be the link between the two casts. The cast of the musical, who also became a really tight family, and the movie. So, I would like you to come on the Broadway stage and play your part again of Dennis Hope.
So, I am pretty unfamiliar with the Almost Famous musical. Has it been in existence for a while? Are they working?
I think it's new, Steve, but I saw some of the cast photos.
Yeah.
And the guy that plays Russell
looks
so much like Billy Crudup. I thought that it was Billy Crudup. I thought that they brought him back.
Like,
he's got the outfit. He's got the appearance, the mustache, the whole nine, he really looks like the part.
I'd like to see how they turn that into a musical and stage it. I think it could work.
Fallon replied, I'm in. Absolutely, I am in. And according to Crowe, he's even rewritten the character scene just for Jimmy. He said, knowing you might step in, I rewrote the scene for an advanced Jimmy fever. and he said, I really wanted to get a scene worthy of you and the beard. In the movie, Fallon made his film debut.
Yeah, and he's really good.
First one, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a road manager for Stillwater. Yeah,
your manager needs a manager.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what,
hey, I didn't invent the rainy day. I just have a bigger umbrella.
He does a great Mick Jagger impression.
He does, yeah. If you think Mick Jagger is still going to be dancing around at 50 years old, you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
That's what top five great movie line for me. I love that movie so much.
So he'll take a turn. Well, do you think you might go see the show?
Yeah,
that much?
Yeah, you know, like if they can translate it to Broadway, you know, Casey, you're a bigger Broadway fan than I am, but I think that this could be a really good musical.
I don't know the movie that well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So according to The Hollywood Reporter, Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav expressed interest in creating more Harry Potter films.
What?
During an investors call on Thursday. What?
Yeah.
He said, we're going to focus on franchises.
What?
He said... He said
he wants Mel Gibson to play Dumbledore.
Oh, no.
That's his incantation.
Yeah. That's a jinx he's putting on someone. Yeah.
I'll take Kobe.
Where I lost my place. He said, we haven't had a Superman movie.
And Preston, the beard, the fake beard doesn't quite fit right.
Yeah.
You can clearly see the string over his ears.
We haven't had a Superman movie in 13 years. We haven't done a Harry Potter in 15 years. They haven't done a Harry Potter in 15 years.
That's not true. They did Fantastic Beasts the last
time. I guess maybe he's not counting that because Harry wasn't.
What about Man of Steel? That came out more than less.
Harry Potter's not in that.
No, but he said a Superman movie in 13 years.
The last Fantastic Beasts movie that came out was the best of the three. And if they're going to continue this franchise, they can go in that direction. And the first one, in my opinion, was okay. But they're getting better as they go. And I really like the last one a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see if they get Mel. Yeah.
A lot.
They would have to create. All right. Whatever they do. As long as we have the original series, that's all that matters.
But he said the DC movies and the Harry Potter movies provided a lot of the profits for Warner Brothers over the past 25 years.
Do they see a crossover where perhaps the Flash attends Hogwarts?
That's a good idea.
Mel is on board and yet not on board with some aspects.
Yeah. He added that he's really interested in making a deal with J.K. Rowling despite the...
Oh, my God. Wow, man.
Despite the controversy surrounding her lately. He said if we can do something with J.K. on Harry Potter going forward...
I think she would need to be a part of the direction of the characters.
I guess so. Yeah. Was she a part of Fantastic Beasts that series?
She's a screenwriter for those.
Okay. All right. Then one more quick thing. The Russo brothers' new Netflix movie, The Electric State, has rounded out its cast. The sci-fi thriller, which currently stars Stranger Things' Millie Bobby Brown opposite Chris Pratt, has added Anthony Mackie.
Very cool.
Billy Bob Thornton. Giancarlo Esposito.
Nice.
And
Mel Gibson.
Hui Kwan and Mel Gibson.
Oh.
They're still negotiating.
Inaccurate reporting.
Yeah. I love Billy Bob Thornton, and
he loves you.
Yeah, no, we met before, and I think he liked me just fine. But I was watching Armageddon. He's really good in that movie.
I know.
He's good in it.
And his physique, we were talking about it. He was in studio, and he said, yeah, you got to pay alimony.
That's right.
Yes.
So, alongside the reports is new details about the characters each actor will be playing. Esposito is playing a villain called the Marshal, who pilots a drone on the hunt for the robot at Brown's side. Mackie and Thornton will voice the robots, with Mackie's acting as a partner of sorts to a smuggler, played by Chris Pratt. Michelle Yeoh was set to play a doctor in The Electric State, but she's since been replaced by Kwan, who actually starred with her in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. So Anthony and Joe Russo had previously laid out the premise for the upcoming movie in an interview. They said it sort of reimagines the 1990s. As a sort of 1990s American West, a war happens between humans and AI robots.
Huh.
And this story is set in the aftermath of that war. It's basically about a sister who's been separated from her brother during the war, and she's trying to find him.
Sounds interesting.
They're also working on with Netflix on The Gray Man 2, the original starring Ryan Gosling. Gosling as Agent Sierra 6 became one of the streamer's most viewed movies after being watched over 250 million hours in his first 28 days.
Did you see a case?
I did. I liked it.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd heard kind of mixed reviews on it. Yeah.
The one that I really like the most out of that whole cluster was the Chris Hemsworth, the first...
Extraction.
Extraction. Yeah. Really solid. Yeah. Okay. A lot of terrific action.
All right. We do have some movies opening this weekend. Ha All right, we're going to start with Weird, the Al Yankovic story.
I'm looking forward to this.
Comedy slash biography stars Daniel Radcliffe, Evan Rachel Wood, and Rainn Wilson. The sort of unexaggerated true story about the greatest musician and sex symbol of our time. It's an hour and 48 minutes long. It's rated PG. It's limited theater release today, streaming today as well. And Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 90% score.
Yeah, how cool is that?
That's great. The other movie, or another movie opening, is Causeway, and it's a drama starring Jennifer Lawrence, Brian Tyree Henry, and Linda Edmond. Causeway is an intimate portrait of a soldier struggling to adjust to her life after returning home to New Orleans. Hour and 32 minutes long. Rated R. It's in theaters and streaming today. Rotten Tomatoes, 85%.
So that's not bad.
Solid score.
Yeah.
And then finally, the movie The Estate opens. It's a comedy with Toni Collette, Anna Faris, and David Duchovny. Two sisters attempt to win over their terminally ill, difficult to please aunt in hopes of becoming the beneficiaries of her wealthy estate, only to find the rest of their greedy family members have the same idea. Hour and 31 minutes long. Rated R, limited theater release, and no score available as of now. All right, so we have clips to play. We're going to do that. We'll start with Weird, the Al Yankovic story. Of course, it explores every facet of Yankovic's life, from his meteoric rise to fame to his torrid celebrity love affairs and famously depraved lifestyle. In this clip, director Eric Appel explains how he came to make the movie.
I made a fake movie trailer for Funny or Die about 12 years ago that was a trailer for a really serious Weird Al Yankovic biopic. Al started showing it at his concerts during like a wardrobe change. So for about a decade, he would have people coming up to him after the show saying like, is this movie real? Like, how can I see this movie?
Yeah! Weird the Al Yankovic story is out today, and you can get that on the Roku channel streaming. All right, next clip. In Enola Holmes 2. Enola Holmes takes on her first case as a detective, but she'll need some help from friends and brother Sherlock. Here, star Henry Cavill discusses his relationship with co-star Millie Bobby Brown.
The relationship on camera very much mirrors what's off. We do have a very older brother, younger sister type relationship. It's a lot of teasing on set, a lot of making fun. I do not hold back.
Oh, yeah.
Enola Holmes 2 is out today on Netflix.
Maybe I need to visit this. The first season, yeah, it was received pretty well.
It's a movie.
Oh, I thought it was a little limited series. Okay. No,
I thought so too, but Caroline schooled me on that.
Okay.
It's a movie, and I know.
Roasted. Yeah. Roasted.
Caroline and Rochelle liked it, so cool. I love Millie Bobby Brown. She's great. So, and I love the whole Sherlock Holmes thing.
It's crazy when you see her when she first appeared as 11, and now she is.
I know.
Like, she's a beautiful woman. Yeah, it's
what
crazy.
What the hell?
I know.
Who to who?
All right. That's the entertainment report. We are going to take a break. Please tolerate my voice. We were at the game last night.
It's the voice of competition.
Oh, man. And it was.
Yeah.
We got some stuff going on. Adam Conver is going to be joining us. And we got to rest up our voices because Monday's Camp Out Forever.
Yes.
It starts, man. So just keep in mind that is coming up. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dracky Bam Bam, the world's tallest elf. I'm asking that you join me as MMR rocks the 41st annual Delaware Valley Abate for the Kids Motorcycle Toy Run. It's happening this Sunday. We're going to get the bikes lined up on Columbus Boulevard and Spring Garden right outside of Cavanaugh's River Deck starting at 9 a.m. And then at noon, I'll be waving that flag as your Grand Marshal, and I'm so honored. I will lead the parade of thousands and thousands of bikers on a 10-mile beautiful run with live bands playing along the route, including Vinyl Logic, Spare Parts, and Delco Boys. We'll end up at Rivers Casino, and that's where we'll deliver the new and unwrapped toys for the U.S. Marine Corps Toys for Tots program. Thank you so much as we crush it for the kids. And all the details are at WMMR.com. From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So we'll spend a little bit of time recapping our evening last night. A few of us went to the game. Casey was there, Nick, Marissa, I was there. By the way, Nick, Kathy's husband was sitting right next to us, by the way. Nick didn't know that the whole night.
I got in there right.
Man, Nick is really standoffish.
I feel like, now, I feel like a jerk because I didn't say hi to Dennis. But, we got in, like, right after the national anthem. I wanted to get to the seats. I went the wrong direction in the aisle. And then I had to get back to the seats. So I completely ignored your husband, Kathy. I'm sorry. And your son.
Well, you got the end seats. So that was good.
It was nice.
And Dennis was all the way in the middle of the row. So I could see why he didn't see him at all.
It was really fun being there last night. I'm so disappointed with how it ended, especially with those close plays in the eighth and the ninth. But it was a great time.
Dude, just walking into the environment from we got dropped off. My friend Jim and I did. So we'd walked all along Patterson and came around it, and we passed by. You know, everybody's mood was just fired up. We saw the tent where the Camp Out for Hunger is being set up and all that. And, in fact, I got this email this morning. This is from Justin Rogers. He goes, "Hey, Preston, huge fan. I saw you recording our band tonight at the Phillies game. We were playing outside of the third base gate at the Liberty Bell. Noticed your phone as you walked by us." He says, "We are not snack time. We are WoFat Brass Band.
WoFat.
Arguably the best in the city." He said, "Please give us a listen on Facebook, YouTube, etc." So, yeah, they were a brass group out there with trombones and trumpets and everything, and they were just everybody. I walked by several people that were playing different instruments, and just, you know, it was a carnival atmosphere.
That's awesome.
Going into that, once we got inside, then, you know, then you really get jammed in with people, but it was really electric and felt awesome. But obviously, the game was. It was close. I mean, it was just, they were just, and when you have close games, there are several disappointing moments that happened throughout. There were a lot of stranded runners, and that was disappointing to see.
You recorded on your phone a complete dichotomy. You have the joy of thinking there's a home run to realizing it was caught.
Yeah, in the ninth, it's coming down to the wire, and Real Muto had hit what we thought from, so we were in right field. As the, you know, the curve in the outfield continues, it goes in a little bit. So we can't see, you know, center field very well.
Right.
And we saw the trajectory of a ball that looked like it was going out. The crowd reacted around us, so we reacted, and we're thinking, that's it. It's a home run.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was a hell of a catch. To the wall.
I had to break the news to Kathy's husband. I was sitting next to him because, I saw Real Muto stop running between first and second base, and I saw his hands go on his helmet, and, you know, and then Dennis is like, "I can't believe that just happened."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "No, no, no, no."
It didn't just happen.
Casey, I was watching, I was celebrating because I thought they had tied the game, and then I saw the Astros dugout celebrating because of the catch, and my heart broke. I thought it was a tie game at that point. And it wasn't.
Dennis, don't bother Nick. He needs this time.
I'll be crying down here.
Nick wanted me to point this out, that there was a pretty flaccid moment that happened where a guy ran out onto the field.
Yeah.
Okay. But he just kind of wandered out onto the field.
Yeah.
Normally, you see somebody who's going for that attention. They are sprinting.
There's a mission.
They're flashing something. They're taking their clothes off. They're waving their hat around or whatever. This dude just kind of wandered out into center field and was kind of, I guess on his face, was like, "Well, what do I do now?" You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if his friends dared him or anything, but the crowd, they went after him, you know? They booed him pretty hard. He did. As once security started running, because they went full on sprint. Like, even though the guy wasn't running, they sprinted right at him, and he took off and he ran to left field and tried to
jump up.
He tried to climb back up into the stands.
I mean, he ruined the flow of the game. The game, there was a flow at that point, and he absolutely ruined it. And the pitch right after ended with a batter getting hit by a pitch. And I swear to God, if that ended up in some sort of a run,
it disrupted the mojo.
Yeah, if it ended up with the run scored, like,
I would want to know who that guy is so we could tar him and feather him. You know?
So what is the, technically, what do you receive if you run out on the field? Is it a misdemeanor?
No, it's at least one night in jail and a pretty hefty fine. So my guess is, Steve, he did not have a very good night last night.
Right.
He ended up, you know, they don't mess around when you do this.
I wonder if it's like what the official charge is, like disturbing the peace trespassing or, you know, I'm not sure what they stick you with if you do that. But
I didn't realize that somebody hit him in the head with a beer when he was trying to climb the fence.
Oh, yeah. Is there a video of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see this. Hold on. We're watching a video on Instagram. He's trying to climb up.
Yes, right through the beer. He wasn't getting support from the spectators.
No one wanted that.
When he wandered out into center field, I thought that it was like a staff member at first because he just kind of stopped and he was right in the middle of center and I was like, oh, this is just somebody from the ballpark making sure that they're doing. And then I was like, oh my God, this is a moron. You know, and like if it's a regular season game and it's kind of slow,
right?
I know that it breaks up the game, but I don't hate it.
Have a mission at least, though. Yeah. Bring back cheers.
Right. You get a little bit worried.
Yeah,
you get a little bit worried too. That like, all right, what's this guy gonna do?
Well, yes. That is the main worry. Mm-hmm. You have somebody who should not be out on the field. What's that about? You know, especially in a high profile, well attended event like this, security is on absolute high.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and no, I haven't heard any word as to who that guy was or what's going to happen.
Did you say Will Smith was there last night?
No, he was in Philadelphia, but he was not at the game.
All right, he went to his old high school, and Kathy had pointed out he's on the. Fix my
reputation.
My reputation tour right now because he hasn't been to his old high school in God knows how long.
Improve my image tour. Listen, I totally support that because you guys know my next career. That's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
So I think that was that's good right. That he
You're
came back
a publicist. And went to
Philadelphia. Yeah.
Romano Incorporated. Right.
I do love how baseball players, all of them, are so fan friendly because you know in between innings or like foul balls and stuff like that,
right.
they throw the ball. You know, and that means. My daughter got a ball. We got into the stadium early, and we did batting practice, and she got a ball at batting practice.
That's awesome.
And it's great. And so for a child, even for a grown adult,
yeah.
When somebody gets a ball thrown to them, it means a lot.
Yes.
It means a lot. And I think that they know that. And Nick Castellanos was doing it in between every inning. But you would see him, Steve. He scanned the crowd. He's, just trying to find that
attention.
One person who's going to, like, you know, really love this ball. And he'd aim for that kid. It's just great. And it means everything.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made it a point to engage with the fans throughout the whole game, you know, calling, you know, two outs. And everybody was signaling to him. So it was really cool.
Well, stop and think about this. We talked about what this means in general. And as you've been saying, Nick, you're playing with house money, you know, at this point. And it's nothing that had been anticipated. But talk about flicking the switch on making the fan base love the players that much more, be that much more invested throughout the season next year.
Yeah.
I think the benefits are going to be multiple.
I promise I'm not being a Pollyanna about this. The series isn't over.
Yes.
We have Zach Wheeler going in game six. I know that he hasn't been the normal Zach Wheeler, but there are two games left in this series. And it was a best of three starting last night. The Phillies lost the first one. It's not looking great, but that doesn't mean that the series is over. And if any team can bounce back, I truly believe in these guys.
Nothing ever!
Thank you.
That's a good point, Rambo.
Nothing is over!
It's a long road.
Do you know?
It's a long
road. Everybody, it's a long road.
When you're
but you can do it. Because giving up, that ain't you!
They tear your dreams.
Oh, man.
You're the lucky fan.
It was a good time. It was just an unfortunate ending last night. But I'm glad I made it.
So many of those unfortunate endings. Statistically, that's why I do my part and never go because I have never been in person. I have never seen a team that I'm supporting win.
Wait, that's not you were at the weren't you at the Flyers game, the last Giroux game this year?
I left.
Oh, jeez.
After the ceremony.
That was a win.
And if you remember, I knocked over a whole bowl of Aramark popcorn.
Oh, I did remember.
Oh. It was not my
All right, name. But you were there that night.
Yes.
And they won that game.
I guess conceivably, yes. I know that I'm poison when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And it just, but I would love to see a win. And then to see a World Series win would be amazing. But as you said, they're up one game, technically, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, if you look at it that way. I'm trying to think of anything else from last night that I
Well, they, while you're thinking, I think it was three seasons ago, the Astros were up 3-2 going back to Houston and lost.
Oh.
2 games in a row.
Okay.
In Houston. I believe that the National Series.
That was the National
Series. Yeah. And so.
And the Phils played well.
They did. They played well. They played much better last night than they did, you know, when they got no hit two nights ago. So, I have high hopes.
Nothing's over.
Yeah. Nothing's over?
Yeah. That's all I can do, dude.
Nothing's over?
I can't.
When he's in the booth, he's in the sports booth.
Hey, everybody, that nothing's over.
Yeah.
And when nothing's over, enjoy the great taste of Budweiser.
I will say getting out of the parking lot was absolutely the worst.
And how long?
I tried to remain as calm as possible.
Right.
I thought I got myself, and Nick had even commented on it because he saw my car when he pulled into, because I got there early. I thought I was in a great spot that I was just going to be able to slide right out of there.
No.
I didn't. I actually, at two points, drove up on a sidewalk.
No kidding.
Yeah, because my idea was that because I parked to the very, very left of this part of the lot where all I had to do was just, I was right there to get right out, and I couldn't because all these cars were in front of me, and I would have to muscle my way in front of like a whole bunch of cars, and it wasn't my turn. So what I ended up doing, because there was nobody to my right, I backed up over the curb a little bit so I could turn and go to the right.
Let me ask you, without giving away perhaps cherished family secrets, is there a secret? Is there a way that you will not just end up regardless sitting in traffic?
Leave before the game's over.
The game's over. But no, for Eagles games, when you have more, you know, people than Phillies games, we park at FDR. We park at the back of the lot there. And it's a longer walk.
Yeah.
Yes. No,
it's
a long road. It's a long road.
I can't believe how far away I parked. I won. What day was? Limo service.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to roll with the changes.
Yeah. Sorry, Casey.
There you go. Now, you get right out of there.
Okay.
Casey, it took us about 45 minutes to an hour as well. We were on the other side of the Wells Fargo lot, and it took a really long time. Steve, I think game five, and the game ended at midnight last night, so you don't have a ton of options, but game five of the NLCS, my girlfriend and I went to Xfinity Live afterwards, and we waited there for only like 45 minutes or so.
Well, that's the perfect thing to do.
And then like we had one drink, hung out, it celebrated with the fans, and then if you're just there to chill for a little bit, the parking lot clears out, and then it's just less stressful.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And what
I have a Shirley Temple.
What I think is, I'm not an engineer, but I think out in front of the Wells Fargo lot, the lights aren't green long enough.
Dude, the lights suck right there.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Let me ask you something. Do you believe that it would stand to reason that the lights get calibrated differently during
games.
I don't know how they're calibrated, but whatever the calibration is, it's wrong.
Well, sometimes you'll see a cop at the box,
right?
The control box.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's working those things to make sure that, because they can eyeball the what needs to move at the
time. I mean, because like on Eagle Sunday, you go from nothing to thousands.
Everyone. Yeah.
It's frustrating.
That's the tough part. It's getting out of there. So.
Well, there's an article in the Inquirer about if you're not a sports fan or even have any interest in sports whatsoever, this is not your time because there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be still. The Eagles did phenomenally well. There's great stories to tell. The Union,
tomorrow.
And as you pointed out, Nick, there's every possibility.
Yeah,
they take this,
and it really. And Steve, you and I have talked about this a bunch, but like. The fact that this World Series is happening in 2022, where we're all able to be there, that post-pandemic,
awesome.
Hanging out with fans. And, I got to go with my dad a couple of nights ago. I had to hang with all you guys last night.
You got to ignore Dennis?
I got to ignore Dennis. He was at the end of the row. Didn't say hi to him once.
He literally said to me this morning, did Dennis go last night? Dennis and Jace there? I'm like, yeah.
Uh-huh. I would like to point out something that I was... that I saw was kind of refreshing because there was a group of Astros fans that were, I think they were like two rows off of the outfield down in front of us. And everybody got along great.
Oh, cool. That's probably the story more often than not.
I was watching. I'm like, please don't somebody do something stupid.
No, some fat dude started jawing with him a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, Bubba noticed it.
Regular, yeah. Benign jawing, or no, I hope your mother dies jawing?
No, at one point it looked like the one Astros fan grabbed the other Astros fan and moved him to his other side to keep him further away from fat Phillies fan. You know, listen, I am all for playful banter back and forth, like, you know, trash talk and stuff like that. But there is a line.
Yeah.
And, like, don't even teeter on it. You know? Especially when alcohol is involved.
You can take it up to and vomit on someone. But after that.
And after the vomit.
Stop it.
Hand them a towel. Yeah,
vomit on the guy's child. That's fine.
Yeah, don't puke on the kid in front of
him. Hand him a towel. Say, just kidding.
But that's where Philadelphia draws the line.
Yeah. Hey, I did have a moment. I'm glad you mentioned that, Casey. It was late in the game, and I saw an opportunity to go and run to the restroom. And it was, you know, at the end of an inning, so the line filled up very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was near the door to the restroom. I got to, you know, pretty quickly to the line, and a big line formed behind me. And all of a sudden, a kid, you know, probably a 20 years old, something like that, comes up and tries to slip right next to me or in front of me. Mm-hmm. And there was a dude, and there was easily 15, 20 people behind. And this this guy, fat Phillies fan, drunk guy, was not having it. And just leaned into him. He's like, get the F to the back of the line. I am not putting up with this S. He was dropping. I was like, I got your back, dude.
Yeah,
that ain't cool.
This person go to the back of the line?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude was going to strangle him, man.
He
was
when like, you're in a piss line?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no.
Yep. So, Preston, we parked in the Wells Fargo Center lot, walked past where the tent is going to be for Camp Out for Hunger, and walked past Xfinity Live to get in. And we walked in and started walking in at about 7:25. The line to get into Xfinity Live wrapped around the entire block. Okay.
It had been like that. It was there, like, when I got there at 5, it was like that.
No kidding. All right. So it was around the entire block. I saw two girls trying to slip a security guard $200 in cash just to get into Xfinity Live.
Oh, and he was like, no. To gain entrance. Holy hell.
Yeah. When I got there, it was halfway down to Broad. I mean, it was that far down.
Wow, and that's a long road.
It's a long road.
Hit me.
Hey,
sweetie, two more Shirley Temples.
I'm going to be here a while.
What you talk about location, yes, though, right?
Yeah. And they just wanted, Steve, like, they're not even in the stadium.
I know.
They just want to be in Xfinity Live to be with a bunch of fans.
Yeah.
And the security guard was like, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah.
It was exciting. It was electric. It was all those things. But a couple more games to go.
Yeah.
Most definitely. If it's cool, I want to go ahead and take a break. We good with that? Or that's a little early, but
No.
Do you want me to do some junk drawer stuff? Or?
Yeah.
No, it's your birthday. No. Do whatever you want to do.
It's my birthday.
Your birthday?
Yeah. I didn't want to tell you guys. I have two birthdays.
Yeah, it's like National Donut Day. There's 10 of them.
Yeah. I can mention a couple things.
You sure? Right. Yeah. Are you up to it?
Well, I've been. No, I do.
Are you okay, buddy?
I don't have to make. because I know we have some guests coming up later on, but I also want to squeeze in the connoisseur today and all that stuff if we can. But let's take a break.
All right.
We'll do junk tour.
I was all ready for junk tour.
Well, we'll do the B file and then maybe we'll do junk tour after that. Okay. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, that's why.
Or the connoisseur, one or the other.
Okay,
all right. So we'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. We're just trying to get it together, folks. Uh-huh. Late night last night. But anyway, some bizarre file stories that we will return with in just a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have a new Daily Rush video, and it is our conversation with Michael Imperioli. who was on just a couple of days ago. And the Sopranos star reminisces on acting with Hollywood's biggest tough guys, discovering meditation, and informs Steve that the finest eating establishments don't actually serve breadsticks. So it was a great conversation. We did it via Zoom, so you see him in the video as well. And you can be the first to see the new Daily Rush videos by subscribing to our YouTube channel, which is sponsored by Xfinity's Gig Speed Internet. You can learn more at Xfinity.com. We're gearing up for Camp Out for Hunger, which starts on Monday morning at the sports complex right outside of Xfinity Live. We saw the tent being constructed as we were at the game last night.
It's good to have the big tent back, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that thing, I'd forgotten how big that is until I saw it last night.
Yeah.
So we're getting fired up for that. And also our Wednesday night event, food trucks and fireworks, which would be Wednesday. The fireworks display starts at 8, but the lead-in with the food and everything, it starts at 5.
So, yeah, possibly a good idea on Wednesday would be to skip lunch and save that for later, because you will be eating your brains out.
Marissa did tell me, and I'll go ahead and tip our hand at this, that if for some reason, if we do have a Phillies World Series victory, that's we're gonna have to skip that event.
Right.
Unfortunately, because
No. We had a built-in rain date, right?
Oh.
Yeah, Thursday would be.
So it would move.
It's gonna be Thursday.
Oh, I thought you missed. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. There you go. So if that ends up happening, we will move that to Thursday. That's great. That's good news. So it's on like Donkey Kong, as I used to say.
Yeah.
We have like 19 food trucks that are going to be there. Celebration fireworks, doing the fireworks display.
You'll be there.
I will finally be there. Yeah.
Hopefully.
And the weather. I know, right? I can still get sick between now and then.
I'm like taking vitamin C like crazy.
I need to do that too. God. I need to pump up, hit myself with some good cocktails.
My daughter's in a play. It opens tonight. It's Peter and the Starcatchers at Mary and Mercy. And so she's playing Smee, which is Captain Hook's right-hand man. Okay. And it's essentially the Captain Hook origin story. And she started getting like a tickle in her throat. Couple of hugs. Like, oh my God.
Listen,
everybody's nice.
Last night at the game, while we were leaving, of course, it's the sea of humanity. I mean, like, Steve, like, you know,
shoulder
to shoulder. And I'm like, any one of you bastards is sick. I'm going to come back here and kill you. But, I didn't think to like bring a mask just in case or something.
I'm taking
like
all
that,
the precautions. I spent like 2 hours pleasuring myself last night.
God,
2 hours? I wanted it to.
Like over and over?
Yes, it does, Kathy.
Are you a doctor?
Yeah. The hell do you know?
All right. So, anyhow.
I wonder if that does help your immune
system. It really does. It cleared my sinuses out.
If it helps your immunity system?
Immune system, yeah.
Maybe. I think there's something here.
I mean.
Marissa?
Oh, no. Does it? Finish what you guys were saying.
Marissa has something to say about pleasuring yourself.
Oh, my God. I walked right into that one.
By the way, I know we already recapped the game, but I spent the evening next to Marissa's dad last night and just had a blast.
He's great.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we went to the Masonic?
The temple.
And he comes up to me and I'm like, who is this pleasant? Oh, it's Marissa's dad.
Yeah. Well, at one point, and I wasn't driving last night, so I was partaking quite a bit in the beers. And I reached over to Marissa's dad and I grabbed him by both shoulders. I'm going to go, come on, big guy. And I just started shaking him.
I was, the only last time I was this drunk, I was Superman.
Oh, of course you were. All right. Now, what were you going to say?
So we were talking about Camp Out for Hunger and food trucks and fireworks. There is a full list of all of the food trucks, plus there's mentions of like Skelly's is going to be there doing the rides, and Five Below is participating for the first time. If you go to WMR.com/campout, I'm actually updating the calendar of events that are going on and how to donate online. There's so much on the website. If you have any questions, lots of information.
And by the way, yes, we're going to be doing tons of stupid stuff like as we always do. And we'll have the full bands there and everything.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I requested this because even though they played there last year, we will get a live version of this on the Friday at Camp Out for Hunger. will be there on Friday, and they'll play that song live for us.
So I had, like, a weird, like, pulling all connections together over this past weekend. What's the lead singer's name? Is it Morgan or Brooke?
Morgan, yeah.
Morgan, okay. Mm-hmm. So I had a baby shower for my best friend. She has this beautiful barn. She lives in Upper Black Eddy, which is, like, really far away. And her mother-in-law wanted to do something special for her at the shower, and they wanted to have a chef come out and do, like, made-to-order omelets. We had a brunch.
Nice.
And so I reached out to our friend Kelly Kaplan, who comes on the show to promote her charity sometimes, because she used to own a restaurant up there. And I said, do you by chance know a chef that would be interested in doing this? It was Morgan's dad.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's so 6 degrees of Froggy.
Right? Yeah. It was like, and I was like, oh, my God, we love your daughter. We love the band.
Excellent. All right, so they'll be back, and they'll play a couple songs for us. We have all our live bands throughout the course of the week. It's going to be a great time. All right, we have Bizarre File Stories.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Have we lost our stories? Okay.
All right, they're still in my briefcase. Hang on.
It was a long night.
Bear with us today.
I'm looking all over the place. I'm like, where the hell's my black paper clip? That's the one. Okay, here we go. It's brought to you this morning by Primo Hoagies. Watching the game with some friends this week. Score big and serve in style with Primo Hoagies. You can order online at PrimoHoagies.com. Not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. All right, we'll start with this. Authorities in Texas worked with first responders to rescue a deer hunter who was stuck upside down 18 feet up in his tree stand. He said, they saved my life. He wanted to remain anonymous in the story, by the way.
Hey, big man.
The deer.
You're so stupid.
They're down there taunting him.
You know what? I'm going to drive over to your house and make love to your wife.
Deputy Corey LeBlanc said the hunter called 911 saying that he needed help getting down after falling out of his deer climb and became stuck. He said he was trying to reach his hunting partner but couldn't. He was able to call 911. We made contact with him. His friend helped us reach the exact location. He was high off the ground with his right foot wedged in the framework of his climbing stand. He said, the officer said, we maneuvered the brush truck beneath him. The fire department got in the back of the truck to support his weight. He had another climbing stand attached. I climbed that one and freed his foot. They supported him and lowered him to the brush truck. And we met the ambulance in at a county road, but he didn't need treatment. It's a good thing that his foot was wedged in between the framework of the climbing stand.
Stopped him from falling, right?
He said, yeah, it's my first time dealing with this type of thing, but it happens. It's not uncommon. He said, my advice to hunters is that this is a prime example of the need to use a safety harness. Said he's lucky that his phone didn't hit the ground. He had been hanging long enough that his fluids and blood were rushing to his head. He'd been hanging for about an hour and a half.
Well, you remember you had a story about somebody who was hanging upside down who died from hanging upside down.
It can eventually kill you. Yeah, so they got him out of there, and he's doing better now. An investigation is underway after a road train carrying tons of blasting material caught on fire and exploded in the remote Western Australian goldfields. A trailer load of ammonium nitrate emulsion, which is a material used in mine site blasting.
And making a Vegemite.
Was scuttled by its driver after one of the wheels caught on fire about 1,000 kilometers east of Perth. The driver was able to decouple his truck and drive a safe distance before the flaming semi-trailer exploded. So he just left it there.
Forget it.
He just got the hell out of there.
You don't screw around with that.
The explosion occurred around...
I quit.
Noon, blasting a hole into the road about 1.5 meters deep and sending a cloud of hazardous smoke into the air.
Jesus, Eddie, I quit.
burning debris from the explosion was also sent flying into nearby bushlands, causing several small spot fires.
Wow.
A contractor at the nearby Greer gold mining operation, who did not want to be named, said that the blast was strong enough to be felt by workers at the mine. He said they ran out to see what went wrong and saw a huge white smoke ammonium cloud up in the air. So the nitrate was on its way to the mine. The incident was the latest in a spate of resource-related accidents to be investigated by authorities after two people had died in the state's mines within 72 hours of each other.
Oh, we're looking at the blast. You can see.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Oh. A big one, yeah.
A Chicago man has been arrested after allegedly handing weed gummies out to kids because he ran out of candy.
Oh, my God. Well, he didn't want to not give them anything.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Jared.
Some of my thyroid pills are in there, too. I ran out of candy, and they kind of look like Tic Tacs.
Jared Phelan distributed bags of the bears to the kids in South Chicago Heights. He said, I checked my four-year-old daughter's bag, and yes, I found three packets of gummies that smelled like marijuana.
And here's some Beano.
According to a...
Yeah, helps you with the farting.
You guys want some ginkgo? An anonymous dad had said that, and Phelan has been charged with child endangerment. So far, the police are not aware of any children having eaten the gummies, but they are asking parents to contact them regarding suspicious packages.
Gummies can be very powerful, right?
Speaking of that very thing, this is a different story.
Okay, it's just in.
I had a story of they actually found... someone had handed out candy with pieces of razor blades.
No, really?
Bringing that...
Following through on the urban legend?
The urban legend, yeah. To the truth. It was in... Yeah, here we go. I'll just follow it over this. Multiple razor blades have been found hidden in children's Halloween candy, and authorities have narrowed down their hunt for a suspect to a small neighborhood where the families may have been trick-or-treating for the holiday. Police in Eugene, Oregon, so that's where this happened, received a report of a small...
Eugene.
Okay. All
right. Good Lord. Sorry, when we both have
Eugene.
The same
button.
Eugene.
Ready, Casey? 3, 2, 1. Eugene.
That got Kathy.
It was good, right?
It was like a millisecond
more
off.
Time.
It was
3, 2, 1.
Eugene.
Okay, try it again. 3, 2, 1.
Eugene.
The thing that sucks is this button, it triggers on the... Like, not when you touch it, but when you release the
right.
button.
Yeah. Right. So it's the opposite of the instrument.
So you need to go a little quicker.
Okay. Do it again?
Yeah. Yes. 3, 2, 1.
Eugene.
There
that's
you
pretty
go.
Good. Pretty good.
It's called
that's
a chorus good. Effect.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
So there's a story here?
Yeah, there is.
Razor blade.
Small razor blade was found hidden in their children's Halloween candy earlier this week. The razor appears to be something similar to a pencil sharpener blade.
Eugene.
Not going to do it.
The initial reporting party lives in the friendly neighborhood of Eugene.
Oh, not so friendly.
And discovered the small razor blade after checking their child's candy prior to allowing them to consume it.
Do you remember when it seemed to be quite common that hospitals were offering...
Free x-ray.
Yeah. The candy.
Yeah. So anyhow, this is legit. They're trying to track down who did that. All right, I got time for one more.
Eugene!
One more story that is not anywhere...
Eugene-based?
In the state of Oregon. A woman in North Carolina was cited on Monday because she was accused of shooting at Mountain Dew bottles because she didn't approve of her father drinking them.
Oh.
So she was shooting at the bottle. Well, what did the bottles do to her?
Exactly.
Shoot at the father.
Shoot the dad.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Disregard that.
Smash the bottles over the dad's head.
Police said officers responded to reports of multiple gunshots in a residential neighborhood of Gastonia on Monday.
Gastonia.
To find a 64-year-old woman with a revolver in her backyard. The woman was reportedly shooting at 4 Diet Mountain Dew bottles.
Well, at least the dad was trying to be health conscious.
Police said the woman told officers she didn't approve of her father's affinity for the soft drink. Police said in a news release, we totally understand that not everybody's a fan of the Dew, but we can't stress enough how dangerous this is.
Shoot the Dew.
There are much safer alternatives to disposing of beverages that you don't like. Instead of using the full bottles as target practice, in your backyard, in your neighborhood, surrounded by other homes and people. Authorities said the woman was issued a criminal citation for discharging a firearm within city limits.
You know, like when you were growing up, though, there are places, my brother-in-law lives up in Wyndham, upstate New York. You can go out in his backyard and shotgun.
There are some places that you can fire off rounds and not have to worry about it. Casey, can you do that Eugene live? You can still do that, or you think no?
Probably.
Eugene! It's a more mature Eugene.
Eugene.
He still grows up.
Oh, hang on a second.
That was Rap Boy, right?
Yeah, I might have something for you.
Hang on, all right.
Eugene.
It tables right this way.
All right. I think we should take a break.
Good to see you, Rat Boy.
And
I'm a good team.
This is Tasha and Natalie. You know Eugene. He's the Rat Boy.
Wait, but Rat Boy, Eugene was Rat Boy's friend, right?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Actually, what my impression is of, it's an impression of an impression.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever actually seen Rat Boy.
I have.
Yeah. Right.
It was directed by Sandra Locke, who was, you know, Clint Eastwood's main squeeze for the longest time.
Oh, I know her.
Yeah. God. Okay. I just pulled up the trailer for Rat Boy.
It's horrible.
It's awful.
Guy who looks like a rat.
Yeah. You tell me you didn't see this in the theater.
No.
Okay, all right.
So in the early run of, you know, the home box office, this was a movie that ended up constantly being played.
Poor Rat Boy.
God, who was Eugene in the movie? Is there a Eugene?
That is a good question. Out. Hold on a second. Nick is looking. I don't see anybody named Eugene in the cast. Okay.
I may have to find out why that was associated with Rat Boy.
I thought his name was Eugene.
In my world, I need to find out.
Rat Boy might be Eugene.
Yeah, okay. I thought that was his proper name.
We have a listener. I think his name's Mike, and he lives in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
And so he'll message me on Instagram from time to time. And the way that he always writes it, he's like, it's Mike from Eugene. Every single time.
Eugene.
It's just terrific.
All right.
All right.
Are we doing a show today?
Glad we got to the bottom of that. We're going to take a break. We're doing that. We'll come back in just a moment. Don't forget that Adam Conover is going to be here this morning. He's doing a Helium Comedy Club. You know him from Adam Ruins Everything. So he'll stop by today, and we have a few other things to get into. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's 25th annual Camp Out for Hunger, supporting Phil Abundance at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. Starting Monday, they'll be live from inside the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent.
Hey, gang, your support has always been amazing, and we're hoping you can help out again. Plus, we've missed your faces. Come enjoy some Dunkin' coffee, have fun, and say hi.
Donate non-perishable food items at our drive-thru drop-off with volunteers fueled by Pepsi. Or make a donation at WMMR.com and at the register of your local Acme Market. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
Made possible by Event Quip, Phil Abundance, United Rentals, Equipment, Trucking and Warehousing, Republic Services, and UPS Rental powered by SurePower.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
I think since it is Friday, we should dive into the world of the connoisseur and find some things about food for you.
It's time for the connoisseur, the throaty voice edition.
Yeah, it was a little rough last night, a little late night, a little screaming and yelling.
Yes.
But I still got some good eats. Oh, Casey, can you hand me the bell? It's right over there on the other side,
buddy,
of the instant replay. I need to get our first story in, so here we go. National Donut Day. The November 5th version happens tomorrow.
Another one. This is we know that that Squeeze has the most birthdays of any band, but National Donut Day seems to be the one that ends up with the most quote unquote national days.
See, here's the deal though. It was June 3rd was National Donut Day, D-O-N-U-T. Tomorrow is National Donut Day, D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T.
So is there a technical difference other than the spelling?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't, because like Dunkin', when they were Dunkin', now they're just called Dunkin'.
Yeah.
When Dunkin' Donuts, it was spelled D-O-N-U-T.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But I had always thought the proper spelling was D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T.
As in doe.
Yeah.
A deer.
I think it's one of those
female
words.
Female deer.
One of those words that has literally evolved, and now the D-O-N-U-T is a proper spelling, like ketchup.
Yes.
It used to be catsup.
Yes.
And then the pronunciation was ketchup, so they literally changed the spelling of it, and the acceptable spelling in the dictionary now is ketchup with a K.
How do you, is it K-E-T-C-H-U-P?
Yeah, but technically it's C-A-T-S-U-P.
The first spelling was E-U-G-E-N-E.
Right. Right. And how do you say that?
That's spelled Eugene. That's bizarre.
Eugene.
Donuts. I have a love-hate relationship with donuts because I love them And when they are available, I find it very difficult to not avail myself of them. And they are kryptonite-like for me. Mm-hmm. Not as much as chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
But give me the right donut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So apparently donut, D-O-N-U-T, is rarely used outside of the United States. So it's just us.
In fact, they'll kill you.
Okay.
What did you say?
So, and by the way, I want to remind you, Kathy, did you ever make the homemade donuts? You remember you texted me about that?
I did. I bought everything and everything in the two ingredients. And,
and it was too much.
You know, Preston, now it's actually the donut on our car.
But I never made them. Wait.
So it's easy. You get canned biscuits. You cut a hole in the middle and then you fry them in oil. And that's and then you can sprinkle sugar on them.
You could do that simply falling in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question, though, about the oil, because it shoots up.
1040
and it,
weight?
Burns your hands and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Right? I'm like, is there a way around that?
My beautiful hands. I just paid for this French manicure.
No, haven't you ever, like, cooked bacon or anything like that? You get oil.
Cookies does.
You get grease, you get oil, it pops up.
So I'm not doing it wrong.
Yeah, it pops. That's part of the deal. Yep. You get those little, almost badges of honor.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's just part of it. Oh, if you're cooking with oil, you're usually
going to... Yeah,
okay, forget it.
Now you're cooking with oil.
Too dangerous.
Yeah.
That is dangerous.
Donuts are dangerous.
So, partake upon National D-O-N-U-T Day.
What's your favorite donut?
I'm sorry, D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T. Like the first one I'll go to, if there's like a variety.
A donut buffet.
Yeah. If somebody went to Dunkin' and they got the dozen of different types, the one that I will go to first without question, if it is in there, is a cruller.
Okay. Very light and airy.
Yeah.
Though surprisingly high in calories.
Very much so.
That's right, because it's all butter.
The flavor is very, very concentrated. And if it is, if I have an option, I know, Nick, you're going to cringe, but if there's a coconut donut, I will go for that next specifically.
Toasted coconut?
Toasted coconut.
Yes!
And then, I just like plain old glazed donuts.
Yeah. Chocolate?
That's my favorite.
Chocolate glazed donut.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disperse. I mean, I didn't mean to disparage the plain old glazed.
Yeah. Don't say plain old.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
The rudimentary, the basic, the base knuckle dragging donut.
Steve, when you say chocolate glazed, do you mean the chocolate icing?
Thank you for the delineation here. The chocolate donut with the glaze.
Yes.
Yeah,
so the actual
that's good.
Chocolate
it's
donut.
A chocolate cake donut,
and it is glaze.
I will ask you this then. If you get a regular glazed donut with the chocolate icing, are you going?
Really?
It's all right.
To me, the chocolate cake, and then I'll tell you what is a strong follow-up to that, would be the blueberry
glazed
donut. Glazed.
So the actual the cake part of it that is the blueberry.
I'm cake centric.
Yeah, the pumpkin glaze is just like that as well, and that's pretty good.
You know, I have not tried that though. I do tell you, with all honesty, their pumpkin lattes are to die for.
By the way, the sprinkles on donuts, you can shove those up your ass,
up your butthole.
My kids love those.
And by the way, are they the same as Jimmy's, but we just call them sprinkles because they're on donuts?
They're exactly that.
You wouldn't call Jimmy's, I got like my donut with Jimmy's, would you?
You know what they call them in the Midwest?
Would you?
Okay. Eugene's.
Jimmy's is a Philly term.
Right, no, I know that. I think you're right. I don't think people say, I'll take the donut with Jimmy's.
Usually it doesn't say on the menu. It'll say like strawberry frosted or chocolate frosted. It won't say,
there's two separate ones.
No, you're right.
All right. We could talk about this all day, but we got other things to go to.
Order up. Other fish to fry.
Yep. Moving on.
We're like a Captain America of donuts.
Let's see. A new recipe that extends fresh pasta's shelf life by 30 days has been developed by Italian scientists.
That pasta you're eating? Yeah. It's 8 months old.
No. What do you mean,
after cooking it?
No, the fresh pasta.
Oh, all right.
So if you've ever had that, and some you can buy those in stores sometimes, but they'll stay more shelf stable. So they created new packaging.
By adding asbestos.
And they're
making it not as fresh.
They added bioprotective probiotic cultures to the pasta.
Sounds
dough.
Delicious.
That makes
you like that, the probiotic?
Last longer. So until now, refrigerated fresh pasta had a shelf life of between 30 and 90 days. The new recipe described in the journal Frontiers in Microbiology, promises extra shelf life without artificial additives and synthetic ingredients.
Do you know, if you've ever had, and I think we all have had, fresh pasta, there is a massive difference. Do you know what I happen to really be enjoying these days? The cauliflower pasta.
Have you,
yes. It's an option. Yeah, yeah.
Do you like that? They have cauliflower gnocchi, and it's so good.
Gnocchi?
Yeah.
What?
Like a donkey?
That's how you say it.
Gnocchi.
Gnocchi?
You added an extra N in there.
Gnocchi.
Oh, wait a minute.
No.
Gnocchi. Genichetti.
Genichetti. Yeah.
That's what Dennis calls it, right?
I'd like to have a broccoli donkey, please.
Preston, when you make like spaghetti or linguine or whatever, more often than not, whenever anybody makes it at home, you put in too much, right? There's usually too much pasta.
Yeah.
How long will you keep that as a leftover in the fridge?
That's a good question.
Leftover pasta's killer.
Yeah, you guys know me. Like, I'll keep stuff for far too long.
Yeah.
But with pasta,
I think
it's like
too dried out.
I do too. It's usually like a day, maybe two max.
You just add water to it.
Yeah, but like for whatever
water?
It is, case, like I don't.
Water.
When it's done, for me, it's done.
No. Here's something you might want to try is before you put it in your container, add a few drops of olive oil in there and mix it up.
I like this.
And then seal
it.
And that should keep it a little more fresh.
You know, I saw one of the dumbest life hacks. He's like, these hacks are going to change your life, right?
Yeah. Don't call it a hack.
Yeah.
Unless it is actually a hack.
It was so dumb. It was, okay, so when you open your spaghetti box and you put some spaghetti and you cook it, okay, what you do with the leftover... Yeah,
stop betraying all the secrets.
Hang on, no. What you do with the leftover spaghetti that's left in the box, put that in a Pringles can. You know, empty Pringles.
Oh.
How about you just keep it in the spaghetti box?
Right.
You don't need a Pringles can.
Here's what I do.
So dumb.
I take the little spaghetti. Do you ever do this? And do like rapid fire chews along the...
No, Mike. Everybody else...
When I was a kid, I did that.
Yeah, I gave that up.
So anyhow, pasta can spoil easily. Fresh pasta can, particularly in products made for people who prefer natural or clean label food without artificial or synthetic ingredients that extend shelf lives. To combat that, the researchers had created a clean label pasta that is far less likely to go off in order to control microbial growth. The team changed the ratio of MAP gases and the combination of plastic films
used
to store the goods. A multi-strain probiotic mixture was also added to prevent the growth of bacteria.
You know what they're adding to it? Ajax.
Okay. Well, that's pretty wild. Hey, question for all you guys. You can only have one pasta for the rest of your life. What kind of pasta is going to be?
Am I on death row, or is it just the only one I can eat for the rest of my life?
You're going to live for another 50 years. You can only have one.
I am a fan of angel hair pasta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I'd probably go with linguine. Linguine's okay. I like the pasta just a little bit thicker.
Thicker.
Shut up.
You like your pasta thicker or
pasta.
And more thicker?
You can't say anything
around.
I know.
How do you like your donkey?
You said no.
Pass from a donkey with a little like teaster.
I like my donkey thicker.
I like my donkeys a little thicker.
Oh. 3 hours of sleep.
Uh-huh. I know. It does it to you.
I know how you feel about it, Casey, but is lasagna on the menu?
Is lasagna pasta?
Yeah, it is, right?
And it's on the menu.
Lasagna is certainly on. Nick, that is so... I'll say this too, for ziti and lasagna, I do like it a little overbaked.
Have you come around on ziti?
You're
right with that.
I was scarred by my second grade cafeteria traumatizing situation. I threw up. Let's put it this way. I had elementary school ziti. So I'm sure it wasn't prepared by an Italian chef.
Yeah.
And so I threw up and I was laughed at and mocked. It scarred me, but I do love ziti.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So you going lasagna?
I think, my mom makes a really good lasagna, and if a death row or rest of life, either option, I think I'm going mom's lasagna.
One of my favorite dishes is spaghetti bolognese.
That's good.
With a little bit of donkey.
What about you? What about you, cat donkey?
I don't know.
Oof.
I'm not like like a
You're
huge...
Italian.
Yeah, I know, but we're not like...
I thought she was Puerto Rican.
We're not huge pasta eaters.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going tortellini to answer my own question.
Very nice.
Tortellini.
The problem with pasta, I believe, is that your eyes are always bigger than your stomach. And,
oh, man.
And you right? You'll always end up...
You go to like a Fellini cafe, man?
Yeah.
There's no... You are definitely going home with... Right. Leftovers.
And when you get bottomless pasta, forget, why? Yeah. You don't need that.
You're filled within the first two. When I ordered, not knowing that Maggiano's was family style.
Right, yeah. Like Buca di Beppo. It's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Those still aren't around, are they?
Yeah.
Tonight, you come a good night, we have extra fresh donkey.
It's thicker. It's thicker than the regular donkey.
Oh, don't you hate the anemic donkeys? Yeah. With the looking like... all bony, and they can't even go, yeah. They just go, eh.
That's like Olive Garden, right?
A step up.
Yeah.
I think so. Okay. By the way, not to smear Olive Garden, I think Olive Garden has one of my favorite lasagna dishes. Yeah, so there you go, everyone.
Yeah, okay.
The more the merrier.
All right. Next order. We're going to talk about cheese for a moment here.
Oh, cheese.
When you gather 4,434 cheeses from 42 countries in one room to find out which is the best, there's inevitably a sense of excitement in the air and a very, very powerful smell.
This is great.
So this was at the... the United Kingdom on Wednesday, it was at a convention center. They had essentially the World Cheese Awards.
Okay.
250.
Was the Pope expected to show up, did he?
No, but there were 250 international judges. They sniffed.
Cheese.
Yeah. They sniffed, prodded, and chomped their way along tables that were filled with cheese to decide which would take the crown.
Cheese would represent a 180 in my life. I was never a massive fan, and now... cheese flights and cheese pairings and all that. Love it.
I've always been a big fan of cheese. It started with like the Hickory Farms things, which I kind of now scoff at a little bit.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When I was a kid, I would get those for Christmas, and I'm like, this is the greatest.
If you love cheese, are you afraid to meet it because it might be a dick?
Yeah.
You should never meet your hero cheeses. So this year's winner is a Gruyere from Switzerland.
Ah.
It was eventually chosen by
Richard Gruyere.
A panel of top judges after the field had been whittled down first to 98 Super Gold champions and then to a final 16. Judges described the Le Gruyere AOP Sirchois.
Sirchois?
Entered by Swiss cheesemaker Vordelflutgen.
All right.
And Effigneur Germino.
You like to taste?
You can say all those words, but you can't say thicker.
It's one word that I messed up this morning. One.
You pronounced flawless.
Yeah. I've spoken thousands more words than you have this morning so far. All right, anyhow.
Jumping all over you.
Anyway, so they describe it as really refined, handcrafted cheese that melts on the tongue and has notes of herbs, fruits, and leather.
I'm on board. I love sucking on leather.
Boy.
My ball like... gag is made.
This tastes like a shoe. Ooh, this is fantastic.
A little bit. I taste a little donkey in there.
They said that it was a cheese with a lot of taste and bouquet.
What is your favorite cheese? I asked it for the donuts. We asked it for the pasta. By God, I'm going to ask it for the cheese.
That is a very good question.
I know mine. Manchego. Yeah.
Manchego cheese.
I love Manchego.
I think mine's, it vacillates, you know, it depends on mood or whatever. But Steve, I bought this horseradish cheddar. That is great.
All right.
I'll bring you some.
No, I'm definitely...
Do you like horseradish?
A little bit, okay. Yes. It depends on how it's employed.
Yeah, all right. There's not too much here. It's like so of it.
My go-to cheese anytime, if I'm going to create like a cheese platter or something like that, is one that's called Prima Donna. And it is a Gouda. It's a Gouda cheese.
It's a Gouda cheese.
But it's a type of Gouda cheese, and that one you can't go wrong with. It's fantastic. But I really like a really good blue cheese.
Uh-huh.
I love it. And you should always have, I've heard, like, you should have a cheddar, a cheddar, a Gouda, and then a blue, and then some other type of soft cheese, like a brie or something like that, if you want to do a nice spread. But I love brie cheeses too, man. They're fantastic.
I love. I do everything you've mentioned. I do love. It's probably considered very pedestrian cheese.
Yeah,
Monterey Jack.
Yeah, well, I like Pepper Jack.
Pepper Jack as well. Yeah, Pepper Jack.
A really good strong cheddar is a great a great cheese.
Yes. You know who makes really good cheddar is Cabot.
Yeah.
Cabot's line is really good.
They really do. We've been getting this cheese, and it's usually on sale around this time of year. It's a reserve cheese from, I believe, Wisconsin called Rush Creek Reserve.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was good.
You have to heat it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the kind of cheese they use for that bread that goes that comes around? We were just talking about it.
The raclette?
Is that what it is?
That's the name of the cheese?
Yeah. I believe so, Casey. Yeah, it's a Swiss cheese as well, or a Swiss recipe. And
is that it up on the screen there? Yeah,
you know
what?
My God. No, that's the Rush Creek Reserve.
This is one Casey was talking about.
That's what I was talking about. I hate Swiss cheese.
Oh, my God.
Can't stand.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I love
Swiss cheese. But
my girlfriend doesn't like it either, and I love it, so I bring it home and I eat all of it.
The
Melting Pot, like those style restaurants where they heat it up, I dig it. I'm in.
Okay. By the way, did you guys hear about the explosion of the cheese factory?
Oh, no.
There are pieces of debris everywhere.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Thank you, Texter.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Texter, for that.
Pieces of debris.
Apparently, there's different cheeses to use for that, the raclette.
Okay.
You can use different ones, so it's not like one specific one. At least that's what I'm finding.
All right.
So is raclette a style of cooking it? Or
it's like a cheese dish.
Oh. Okay. Coming in second place in this World Cheese Awards was a Gorgonzola Dolce DOP, a soft blue buttery cheese made by DiMaggi from Italy.
So do you know in the hotel right next to this, there was the mouse convention?
Oh, my God. In a bizarre twist. Yeah. They booked them.
They had a home run.
The whole weekend we'll be here.
I never put cheese in a mousetrap. I always put peanut butter in there. I guess maybe I should do the cheese thing.
So we have tried, and I only use humane traps when we had them here. The thing that got the most traction was fruit.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I can see that. Yeah. Do you guys remember we had we had that gal? She was a cheesemonger from Bruno's.
Top level.
Was she an intern?
No, she
came in.
She was the head monger.
We were talking about cheese, and she brought in some select cheeses for us to check out.
Was awesome.
I do like those. Somebody got me that as a gift one time at DeBruno Brothers cheese selection. It was fantastic.
They have a new one in Wayne or Stratford right on Route 30 at DeBruno Brothers. It's right near the farmer's market. It's really great, Preston. It's one of those places where you can go in, and they got a lot of samples.
Oh, yeah.
You can just hang out by the samples.
Yeah. Where DeBella lives. It's DeBella's.
DeBruno's.
Right. It's on
DeBa 30. To the one in Suburban Square.
Suburban Square.
Suburban Square.
Sometimes that's like past my taste buds. Like it gets like a little too funky. Some of the cheeses, I think I'm not like used to them.
You probably wouldn't like on the blue cheese style.
No, I don't.
That could be a little bit more dicey.
Yeah, a little too funky though, Kath?
Cheese
plate time. Hey, it's Kathy, and I'm here to say, I'm not going to eat your cheese today.
Yes, the disco lights.
We have disco lights and funky music in the studio.
Hey, it's Kathy, and I'm here to say, don't want no blue cheese any day.
Three hours
of
sleep more often.
I know.
I know. Thank God that game got pushed, though, if we were doing this on a Thursday.
I'm happy that it worked out that way. All right, order up.
Oh, wait, hang on. I was on the funky bed.
So oh,
I,
sorry. Here,
I need to get
back
my...
Up.
There we go.
Order up. All right, let's see. So, a pair of TikTok chefs, Nick Giovanni, and Lynn Davis broke two Guinness World Records by assembling a 7-foot, 1-inch sushi roll. They teamed up in Boston to assemble the roll with 2,000 pounds of rice, 500 pounds of salmon, 500 pounds of cucumbers, thousands of nori sheets, and millions of sesame seeds.
So was this a contiguous...
I haven't seen it.
Kathy's. Because I always think that's a breach of
yeah, when they put like 500 sandwiches next to each other and say, that's the biggest Italian hoagie.
No.
I mean, it's slices of whatever the fish is. I mean, it looks like a sushi roll.
In one roll? Oh, yeah. Okay, I see it. Oh, yeah.
This stuff always grosses me out for some reason. Like, just the large amount, like all in one, when they did like that giant pretzel, they did a giant hoagie.
Do you know what was amazing? Did you guys see the largest lasagna? It was actually done in a, it looked like a hockey rink.
I was going to say, is it a pool?
Yeah, it was crazy, but it was a fully realized lasagna.
You know what freaks me out is, my son loves sushi, right? And we'll just get it at the supermarket. We'll go, you know, because I think supermarket sushi's fine. But like,
that's beautiful.
It is. But he eats it with his hands on the ride home. I'm like, dude, like, you're supposed to eat it with a chopstick and yak. You got to have soy sauce.
Actually, hold on. I saw a report not that long ago that the Japanese themselves say that it is just fine to eat it with your hands.
Yeah?
Yeah, that is not necessarily a chopstick item that you is exclusive to that. That it's okay to pick it up with your hands and use it that way. I saw that somewhere.
What was the revelation we recently you imparted to us? That if you eat your food with your hands, you're more likely to eat at a graduated pace.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Maybe that's part of the deal. You'll appreciate the food more.
This is from Japanese sushi etiquette tips, and it says here most Japanese people eat sushi with their hands, especially with nigiri sushi, which is the single pieces of sushi. So it's just on the fish on top of the rice, and that is apparently totally acceptable.
Huh.
So for this world record, Kathy, you'll be really disgusted because they start tamping down the rice in the sushi roll, the giant roll, with their feet.
Wow. Like,
I mean, they put
making wine.
So they put booties on and everything, but they climb into this huge thing and then they are essentially crushing the rice.
My name is Kathy and I'm here to say don't want no booty sushi today. Shout out to Eugene.
Eugene.
Dude. If Adam Conover is listening to our show right now, he just turned around.
I think he left.
All right. Well, anyhow, during this process, by the way, to create this world's largest sushi roll.
Yes.
They broke the record for the fastest time to fillet a 10-pound fish.
Wow.
At 1 minute and 0.29 seconds.
Some of those, there is an artistry to that. I love watching the preparation.
Yeah.
And what is the great documentary?
About sushi?
Yes, about the sushi chef,
though. Oh,
legendary sushi chef.
Okay.
I forget. Anyway, I think it might be Monster Truck. No,
sushi or not sushi?
Sushi, yeah.
Is it called Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
Yes.
All right. And it's on Netflix.
Okay. Did they eat this giant sushi or did they just waste all that food?
No, they did not. They donated it all to a Boston homeless shelter.
Oh, good. So they stepped all over it and then gave it to the homeless. Thank you.
Says the woman who dressed as homeless people.
They wrapped their feet Halloween in like cheesecloth. So
gross.
Gross. Their feet were
here, homeless.
Close to it.
I am. Dr. Mike swears he will get me into sushi, and I'm still waiting.
Kathy, do you care or even think about the wine that you drink might be stomped on?
Stomped on? No, they crush the grapes in a machine.
Are you
the
sure?
No.
That's what you tell your machine. No, it's okay. I was saying we used to employ the 5-second rule. There was no dirt on the floor.
All right, I have another interesting story. I thought this was kind of cool. While studying library science at the University of Maryland, a woman named Rosie Grant was tasked with creating a social media account to learn how the networks work. And choosing TikTok, Grant wondered what themes to focus her posts around. And a professor suggested that she pull inspiration from the local congressional cemetery where she was interning at the time as an archivist, and the creation of Ghostly Archive, a school project that would grow to become much more, was created. And the caption of her first TikTok video read, "I'm going to start making recipes from gravestones. And it garnered 1.3 million views. And apparently, it is not that uncommon
to make food out of gravestones.
No, no, no. For people to post recipes on their gravestone of one of their great family recipes, and they put the ingredients.
I didn't even think about that.
No, yeah,
because that's something I think a little. If you could impart, for example, if you were known for your famous chocolate chip cookie,
your lasagna,
you could immortalize it. For all the people who get their recipes by wandering around cemeteries, it'd be perfect.
Steve, my mom has a recipe, a book, and it's got like food stains on it. It was her grandmother's, her Italian grandmother's, and she inherited it.
That's
got
to be something.
It's got, you know, the chicken scratch on there, stuff that was written down in like the 20s and 30s or whatever, but it's a prized family heirloom and some damn fine recipes on top of it. It's really nice.
Press, I saw this thing on Instagram. It was a post about this. Apparently, this person's nephew's pre-K class had they made a cookbook. I guess they sold it as a fundraiser, but it was a cookbook made by the students. And it's hilarious.
Oh, is that what you sent me?
That's what I sent you. So, for instance, Sebastian's pancakes. Okay. So, serving 3, prep time 10 minutes, ingredients, salt. And that's it. Where to buy it? Walmart. Instructions. You get a thingy from the house and you put it in the hot thingy. You turn the hot thingy on and it burns. So, you have to be careful. You make like something and you put it in and it cooks, and then so this is all of the
that's the recipe.
Like Joe's Tacos, Ethan's Eggs, Ariana's Macaroni, and it's so funny. It was such a good idea.
Right. One of the best. We love her to death, but Lauren Harris.
Oh my God.
Mixing cooking with alchemy. Thinking that what was the
she thought if you put cucumbers in the oven they would turn into zucchini.
She didn't know how to add water to rice.
Yeah, to rice you have to boil it.
You know, at bridal showers, they'll often do like a recipe card in the invitation, and so the people that come, you know, give one of their famous recipes favorite recipes for the bride, so she, you know, has some things to cook. So they did that for one of my friends for her shower, and I wrote it all out. It was like detailed written on how to open a bottle of wine and pour it into the glass.
That's what you know how to do.
That's how you cook.
So she had, she took on this this kind of project to find various recipes on gravestones and then go and cook them, and she's turned that into her TikTok thing, and it's taken off.
I love the idea of the recipe that's handed down, like Nick, with your situation, through generations.
Nice, it's really cool. It's a cool family heirloom.
So there's a woman, she said there was a recipe found on a Brooklyn-based Greenwood Cemetery gravestone of a woman by the name of Naomi Odessa. She passed away in 2008 at the age of 79. And it was a recipe for Spritz cookies. The recipe, she said, only listed 7 ingredients.
Get cookies and then you spit on them.
No, Spritz.
Oh.
Spritz cookies, not Spitz cookies. So anyhow.
You like the way those taste? Yeah, they're soaked in my spit.
She only listed 7 ingredients without instructions, temperature, and cooking time included. So she said she had to kind of figure it out. She said, I didn't know what a Spritz cookie was at first. So I cooked it kind of like a sugar cookie, but she has figured it out now. She said people were recommending different ways to make the cookies, so I read through all the comments to understand how to make the cookies correctly and made it again and again.
So this is actually, I think, fascinating. Also, for other uses of your tombstone. I mean, I'm going to be cremated, so I don't know what you do with that on the side of the urn, but
well, can you get cremated? Well, I'm gonna be dead before you, so it doesn't even matter. Never mind.
No, you won't be.
What?
Let's die together.
Oh, dude, I'm totally the first one out of this whole show.
I don't think
I'm totally the first one that checks
well,
out.
Well, maybe you need to start eating some Spritz cookies.
Yeah, you're probably right. Just
they're good for you.
Are you gonna put a recipe on your gravestone?
No, but I want to think of something that I can that would be
beer credits. Explain beer credits.
Beer lies to your credits.
Here's my plan for a utopia.
New currency.
My contribution to
if
the
your
world.
Goal is utopia, think beer credits.
So you want to think of your epitaph right now?
No, I want my gravestone
if
to
the
actually
animals can find the strength, why can't we?
That's no, I want one. It to be something that you could actually use it for.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like an anvil, but not an anvil.
How about you installed a ceiling fan on your porch?
I don't know, Kath.
an anvil.
Just thinking out loud.
You want, you want the actual stone to be functional.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you know what?
Oh.
It could be a seat. That's what I'll do. I'll
people do that.
Yeah.
We talked about what I think is a lovely gesture is honoring someone with a memorial bench.
You know what's weird, though, is so, like, sometimes I'll go see my dad at the cemetery. Not him, because he's underground. But,
right.
His gravestone.
But, like, I stare at his gravestone, and I'm like, he's not there.
Yeah.
I'm literally standing on where he is. I should just look down to the ground.
Well, when you bring a shovel?
No.
Casey. So my mother has been cremated, so she's in.
Does she have no gravestone?
No, she does not.
Okay.
So she when my father passes, she and my father, I've been charged with taking their ashes to a specific spot.
There you go.
And and
spreading them.
Yeah, spreading them.
Sure.
But what I will do occasionally is I will outline the silhouette of my mother and pour the ashes into it so I can talk to her.
Dude.
I guess she's been gone long enough he can do this.
Yeah. Also, it's Steve, so totally allowed. Steve, you know what I really liked in the TV show Hacks when spoiler alert, her father passes away?
Yes.
He never traveled anywhere.
Right, yeah.
And so she's driving across the country, and so she spreads his ashes from state to state in places he never met.
All the places he's visiting. I thought that's a wonderful gesture.
It was sweet.
Casey, apropos for you would be a memorial toilet.
Ooh.
You know?
I like it bad.
Like functional?
Casey sends me pictures of his turd so often, it's ridiculous.
Well, honestly, he got that underwriting grant from the Chubb.
I never did tell this one, Casey
only
sent me
the
one.
Really good one.
It was when the World Series was just starting.
Tell me this doesn't look like Babe Ruth.
Dude, no, listen to this. He took a dump, and it vaguely shaped the number 5, and he goes, the fills in 5, and he said,
hang on.
There has to be, throughout history, somebody who was maybe a soothsayer or something.
A poop reader?
Who read, you know, in the broad human experience, there had to be somebody who did that.
All right, so two things. Is that why you brought up the number 5 yesterday?
Yeah.
All right, and the second thing.
So it's actually your fault they lost.
Well, but they lost by a score of 3-2.
3-2.
Which three is plus 5. 2 equals 5.
I know.
Yeah, okay. So it's
in game
fault.
5.
I know.
So tomorrow night in game 6.
And Michael Jackson's original group?
The Jackson 5. So, yeah. Okay.
No, I'm just hitting the bell for the hell of it.
Right.
I think we need to wrap this up.
Yeah, we do.
All right. So this woman is making a career out of the recipes she's found on gravestones.
I find that fascinating.
I thought that was kind of interesting. All right. There you go. Yeah, connoisseur. That's it. We're closing up shop, gang.
My name is Kathy, and I'm here to say, ain't gonna eat blue cheese today.
Actually, I do want to mention one more food-related thing. Our buddy Robert Irvine, celebrity chef, is going to be at Fine Wine and Good Spirits in Lansdale on, actually, today. He will be there today at 4 p.m. He's doing a signing of his bottles for Irvine Spirits. And Robert's going to be joining us at Camp Out for Hunger next week.
And go say hi to him. He's such a fan-friendly guy.
Yep, and proceeds from the sale of Irvine's vodka and Irvine's gin will benefit the Robert Irvine Foundation. That's gives back to service members, veterans, and first responders. So he's going to be in Lansdale at the Fine Wine and Good Spirits location today at 4 o'clock if you want to come by and say hello. All right, we are going to take a break in our Acme Lounge. I believe I saw Mr. Adam Conover. Who's
still there?
Amazingly, he sat through that segment and is going to be on.
You will explain that you've had very little sleep.
Very little sleep.
That's why the show sounds the way it does tonight.
But he will be in here to chat, going to be at Helium Comedy Club, and we'll get him and some other stuff when we come back. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's 25th annual Camp Out for Hunger, supporting Phil Abundance at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. Starting Monday, November 7th, they'll be live from inside the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent.
Hey, gang, your support has always been amazing, and we're hoping you can help out again. Plus, we've missed your faces. Come enjoy some Dunkin' Coffee, have fun, and say hi.
Donate non-perishable food items at our drive-through drop-off with volunteers fueled by Pepsi. Or make a donation at WMMR.com and at the register of your local Acme Market. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
Made possible by Coors Light and Ariglio Beverage. The Keystone Mountain Lakes Regional Council of Carpenters, Local 158. Local 8 Stagehands. United Rentals, Reliable On-Site Solutions. TRG Mid-Atlantic and the General Building Contractors Association.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Excited to welcome our next guest to the studio. Been a fan of his for a long time, and you may have seen him on stage or screen. He is going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow, and he was the host of Adam Ruins Everything. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Conover is here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Good to see you.
Thrilled to be here. That was my first time ever hearing a traffic report live. That was really cool, honestly. I grew up on Long Island, yeah. And my dad, every 10 minutes driving into the city, quiet, I got to hear the traffic on the 8th. And so seeing it done live, that brought me home.
And Adam, the funny part of Long Island is it's a peninsula, basically. And
yeah.
It's all just, you're either on one of the main straight thoroughfares, and it's always the same in the morning. But I absolutely remember that. You'd have to listen for the traffic. I was trying to remember all the time we've been doing this here. Is this your first time playing Helium?
This is my first time doing the Helium in Philly. Did the Helium in Portland.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great club.
Incredible club. It's some of the best clubs in the country by far.
You're here, and I have to say, for all that we know about you and Adam Ruins Everything, I was not aware how involved you were with stand-up and how much that has, in fact, stand-up was sort of a decision. You were on a philosophical track. You're going to, right?
Oh, you did your research.
I did.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I was doing, I studied philosophy in college, and I wanted to go to grad school, and then, you know, I didn't, thank God. Imagine if I would have gotten out in like 2009 with a master's or a PhD in philosophy. It would have been terrible for me.
Right.
And instead, I started, comedy started to click. I started doing that instead, and I sort of realized, I can talk about ideas and you know, think deep thoughts, but do it on stage rather than like in a journal that nobody will read.
Well, I think philosophy probably is a useful tool for the way you approach things and for your weighing out of your fact finding. I assume that helps a great deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a cliche that people say comedians are like modern philosophers. I think a lot of comedians who say that are full of crap. But, you can talk about ideas and you can like think things through. My current show that I'm doing, the hour that I'm doing at Helium, is about, I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder as a kid. And like, how do I control my attention? What I think about and listen to, you know?
Sure,
And that's what the show's about.
By the way, real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt, but to piggyback on that, I believe it was History of the World Part 1 where Mel Brooks did play a stand-up philosopher in that movie.
Right. So. Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
There's
right.
Some truth to that.
Yeah. The smartest guy I knew in college was a philosophy major, and he ended up having a great career afterwards. He didn't like become a philosopher after college, but that was his major. And my favorite class in college, maybe my favorite class, was logic, which is a philosophy-based thing, and it teaches you, I wish I could take it again, or maybe I could take it again, but like it teaches you how to make logical arguments and why some things are logical and illogical. Do you ever apply that to your profession?
I mean, a huge amount of what I do is constructing an argument. If we all agree on this, especially on Adam Ruins Everything, you know, the way it would work is, okay, so haven't you ever wondered this? Okay, well, here's the truth about that. So wouldn't you agree that X and doesn't Y follow, and therefore we must agree Z, right? And if you, you know, walk the audience through that, you can like change minds, right? If you like show people, here's the thought process and answer all their questions. Now you might ask Z, right? Or whatever. And then if you do that properly, you're actually able to convince people.
You know, it's very cool. And to your approach, and you've done, at least I've seen one of them where you go back and say, got that wrong.
Yep.
Maybe it's fallen out of fashion to admit you've made a mistake. I have listened to other people and I've changed my opinion on things and learned things.
Yeah.
I think that's how you sort of evolve.
Yeah.
And it was a particularly funny episode that I saw, by the way, where you're going through. It was probably in the college humor days where you did that.
No, we did that on television, on True TV.
Okay, True TV. Okay, so, that's, are you stunned sometimes, at the reaction of just saying, oh, I was wrong?
I mean, it's amazing how far it'll get you.
Yeah,
because
look,
my perspective is I'm a person. We have on the show, whenever I'm doing work like this, I have a wonderful research staff. We have writers. We spend a lot of time on every single one of the arguments, but we're people. And so we get things wrong occasionally. One time we said that the Empire State Building was 10 times taller than it actually was. We added a zero on the end and we put that on television.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there were some things where it's like, oh, actually new evidence came to light after the episode came out. Or there was a counter argument that we didn't take into account. And if you just say, if you just are transparent about it and say, hey, here's what we got wrong and here's what we stand behind and here's how we would adjust our conclusions, people will trust you more.
They'll say, absolutely. Oh, okay.
This guy, I get him. He's a person. He's not pretending to know more than he does.
It's like I always tell people, I sort of say, don't lie to me and don't try to play me for a fool. That's it. I don't care if what you're telling me is in support of my, or it helps me to think about, I just tell me, you know, what is the truth?
Yeah.
And it's so funny. You have your family's very scholastic. Your father's a biologist, mother botanist, sister science reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is funny. You're a joke guy.
On the black sheet.
But I'm going to guess you're the high earner of the family.
That is true. I'm lucky enough to be.
They work so hard.
Look, I'm very lucky as a comedian to be doing that. Things had gone slightly a different way. If one thing hadn't broken my way, if I hadn't gotten one job somewhere down the line, I'd be just, you know, I'd be a road dog and, you know, barely able to pay for health insurance. Luckily, I was able to, like, get some TV work. And that helped me out quite a bit. But,
Adam, on the show, was there ever a topic you wanted to dive into? And as you started to research, it just didn't quite fit, or you couldn't find a way to really approach it?
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay. But those are, the thing is, I don't often have interesting stories about those because the topics ended up not being interesting.
That's what would kill it.
We tried to do once, all the dinosaurs you learned as a kid were not real, which is true. Like, usually the dinosaurs we learn about as kids were sort of the dinosaurs that, as they understood them in, like, the 50s and 60s.
Right.
And often the picture books don't, like, update. And then we looked into it and we're like, well, some of them had feathers, you know, some of them have different names. It's interesting, but it's not that interesting, and so we spiked it.
So there was nuance. I remember the big revelation that they were actually that they were more colorful than we had thought.
And there's stuff like, you know, T-Rex didn't, like, stand up straight. T-Rex, like, bent forwards, and there's a lot of adjustments like that, but no big thing. But there are other stories that we, like, want to do, but we're not able to.
You had mentioned, you know, being able to get this break in television.
Yeah.
How hard was that to come across? I mean, because we hear story after story after story of show pitch ideas. It just, they walk up to the line, it's a go, and then it's a no-go.
Yep. I mean, a lot of it was, so I was working at College Humor at the time, which is a comedy website.
It's
an entire business that doesn't exist anymore. The websites that used to make original comedy,
The Nerdist.
Yeah, the Nerdist. I had a living wage, I had health insurance, and there just aren't websites that'll pay to do that anymore. But they wanted to get into making television shows, and so we had made the series Adam Ruins Everything. We pitched it to TV, and it was partially a stroke of luck. You know, True TV at the time had a new president. They were trying to compete with Comedy Central and wanted to make a big splash, and they also had this idea of doing, like, educational comedy, and that's what we happened to be pitching. Mm-hmm. And they took a chance on me. I had never been on television. I wasn't a big star or anything like that. And, it was a hit for them, and so they kept us going. We did the show for almost 5 years. Today, though, if I had tried to pitch the show under the same conditions, well, there's a lot less people who will buy it because all the companies have gobbled each other up and all the streamers.
Yeah.
So, you know, there used to be 20 different TV networks you could go pitch to. Now there's, like, four or five streamers, and they'd say, oh, well, you're not famous. Let's get, you know, Kevin Hart to do it or whatever.
Right.
It's called the idea, not the...
You would not have had a prayer.
Yeah.
And that's, it's interesting. And if you think about the, when you were starting with College Humor, that, you know, you talk about having, you know, like a medical plan or whatever, a couple of little extra perks. But now you can go on with just the thinnest, threadbare bit of talent and make $1 million off of something. Does it blow you away about, you know, because you guys are pumping out content.
Sure.
You know, but now it's become inverted tremendously, it seems.
How so? How do you mean?
I'm thinking, like, you get up and you mouth the lines of a song in a 7-second video.
On TikTok.
On TikTok.
Well, here's the thing I'll say is we had a new Netflix show come out in May called The G Word, which I hope people go check out. That was 6 episodes. It took us 3 years to make it because of COVID. And it's out now. And since then, I've been working on trying to get a new TV project going. In the meantime, I've been doing TikTok and YouTube and stuff like that. And the crazy thing is, you can get a ton of views on TikTok. TikTok. But what you don't realize is almost nobody gets paid. If you get a million views on TikTok, and that takes some work, they pay you $40. Almost nothing. Now, if you get a big sponsorship deal, sure. But, you know, people like the D'Amelios or whatever, these big stars, there's a couple of those. But those are like the outliers. The average person on these sites is like making very little money.
What's the G word about?
The G word is all about the government. It's a lot like Adam Ruins Everything. It's okay. a educational comedy series. But it's about the government and how it works. And I also go out in the field. So we went and visited a Cargill beef processing plant to see how the USDA inspects all of our meat. We were one of the first camera crews to get inside one of those plants in like 30 years. And we went up with the hurricane hunters to fly through a hurricane to see how they track hurricanes.
That's been a bucket list thing. I don't know. I'm not suicidal, but that to me seems so fascinating.
It was incredible. Yeah. It was really nauseating.
So is the G word similar in that you guys will use scenarios or teaching aids and things like that?
Yeah, it's
I love that type
visual
of programming.
Sketch comedy. Yeah.
I love stuff. It's got to be hard to be original, keep coming up with something fresh.
Yeah, I mean, it is. What I always look for in our writer's room is, what are the ideas? If they blow our minds in the writer's room, then it's probably going to blow the mind of the audience.
That's a good litmus test.
Yeah.
What we kind of try to do is, you know, in a way, ultimately, and I think even the great stand-ups, you know, what makes you laugh? What do you, and hopefully that translates. But you learn also to recognize the signs of, oh, maybe this is making just me laugh.
I mean, it has to make both laugh.
Yeah,
like, when you're on stage, the thing that is I always try to do when I'm doing stand-up is to try to remember why I found it funny in the first place. And if I'm able to laugh at it in that moment again, then it'll work for the audience, too. But they have to be laughing as well.
It looks like you shot some of the G-Word in Philly. We were watching the trailer.
Yes! Oh, my gosh,
So what was that episode?
So the entire final episode of the show was called Change. We spent 5 episodes exploring the federal government, and, you know, I came away going, oh, my God, this thing is so massive. There's so many problems with it that people have been demanding change on for so many years. How do we actually, like, move this giant boulder? And one of the things was we profiled these folks, Reclaim Philadelphia here in Philly, who are like actually changing local government. And we talked about how important local government is for any issue that you care about, you know, and any issue that affects your life. Even your Senate race here is getting a lot of attention, right? Obviously. But like, you know, what I'd say to people, what about your mayor's race? What about your city council race? Because what about your state reps, school boards? Because those affect your life way, way more.
Mm. And also, you can feel perhaps dwarfed by the Leviathan that is the federal side of it, but locally you can go down to the meetings and go and you can be a little bit more invested.
This is what I started doing in Los Angeles where I live. I started going to meetings. I started like if you just show up to meetings,
right?
At least in California, there's a law. They have to let you comment and they have to let you go to the meeting. And if you and if you go to enough of those meetings, you start to get a sense of what's going on. And if you join a group in your area that's like trying to work on it, like I do a lot of volunteering around homelessness because, as I'm sure everyone's heard, we've got a lot of homelessness in LA. And if you start going to meetings of a group around that, they'll say, hey, why don't you show up? You know, next week we're doing some canvassing or we're doing a fundraiser or whatever. Would you help out with that? And sooner than you realize, you're making a difference in ways that you didn't expect if you just start showing up locally.
I don't know if you've ever tackled the subject of political campaigns because we've only got 4 days left of this hell of political spots and so on. Oh, my God.
It's awful. Look, it's bad in California, too. I watch Jeopardy every single
time. Oh, my God. Just brought up Adam.
We were just talking about
it. I have the thing to do.
Oh, okay, sure.
Exactly predicated on this.
Sure.
My wife and I DVR Jeopardy.
Yes.
Every night.
Yes.
And zip through the commercial
breaks. Yes. And every single commercial break right now is for a proposition in California. We've got crazy propositions. But yeah, it's honestly the only reason I keep the cable box. The DVR subscription is like $25 a month.
Right.
And the only thing I use it for is Jeopardy because it's the only thing that's not on streaming to skip the commercials.
No, you're so right. Yeah. it's crazy.
Have you ever thought about taking a stab at like a Celebrity Jeopardy or anything like that?
Oh, I would love to. You know, I'll tell you, when they were trying to, when Alex Trebek passed away, I told my agents, I was like, I'm not going to be the next host. I want to be considered. Just please tell them I would love to do it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he said, of course they will. And then, you know, of course, you know, Ken Jennings and it was a perfect choice and Mayim Bialik as well.
To put the GOAT in, you know. It seems to be the right way to go.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But I'm such a fan of the show. Yeah. And I would love to do Celebrity Jefferson sometime.
So James Austin Johnson is on the G Word with you as well.
Yeah.
And he started getting traction because of Twitter. He's on SNL now.
I got a good story about that.
I would love to hear it because he does my favorite Trump. And it's just the way that he delivers it is so spot on, but just silly and ridiculous. To me, it's hilarious. But share the story, please.
Well, so he's been a friend of mine for a long time doing comedy in L.A., and he started popping with this Trump impression on social media, and we were casting the show, and I was like, we got to get him on the show. Maybe we'll use the Trump impression. We ended up not using it, but he's just one of those comic actors. You give him one line, and he'll find a way to make it funny.
Genuinely funny.
Yeah. And then, so we're shooting. At the beginning of a shoot day, he says, hey, guys, can you shoot me out early? I got to go do an SNL showcase today. And we were like, okay, you know what? For you, you're my friend. Let's get him out. Let's stack his scenes at the beginning of the day. We'll get you out by 4 so he could drive back into L.A. We were like 2 hours outside of L.A. He could drive back and do a showcase. And that was the showcase that got him.
Wow.
That was his first showcase that got him. Obviously, he had callbacks and things like that. But, you know, I really could have screwed him. And I didn't, so he
there's a joy in that power. I did watch a bit of Mind Parasites, which was a show you had done, and you bring up and I just I guess it all ties to there's a type of a fungus or fungi that and I was telling Preston about this, and we talked about it. We've talked about it sporadically over the years that will. I guess it'll take over its host.
Yes.
And will mind control its host.
Yeah, this is funny you bring this up. This was the stand-up show that I was touring before the pandemic. This is my last hour. It was called Mind Parasites. And, yeah, it was about these, there are these fungi that will, like, take over the brain of an ant and force the ant to, like, climb up and hang out at the top of a stalk of grass. And it'll do that.
It's chilling.
Yeah. It'll do that because, you know, then later a cow will come along and eat the grass and the ant will be up there and the parasite will enter the cow's stomach and reproduce in its, its digestive tract. Then the cow takes a crap and then the next stage of I think a snail then eats the parasite and then ants, like, eat the snail trail the circle of life continues. It's horrible. But I use that as a way. I use that in that show. As a way to talk about the parasites that are controlling our minds. So I talked about advertising. I talked
about
social media. And I talked about alcohol. I quit drinking a couple years ago. And I started to realize that I was just like that ant climbing the stalk of grass, but under the control of alcohol. Because here's the thing I thought. I think the ant thinks it's its own idea. The ant is like, I just feel like climbing a stalk of grass tonight. That's just what cool ants like me do. They don't realize that there's something crazy going on in his brain, that something has come in on the outside to influence
it. I think we're so autonomous that there's no way we could subtly be
right.
You know, swayed to that. And so we have this conversation often about social media and about, you know, in the benign days of Tom's your friend and nice, and what it's become. And I see it, look at people with kids and I say, that's got to be a minefield for you because it seems to be, for all that can be good about promoting a charity or there's just so much that is a detraction from it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, I think that kids are resilient. You know, I grew up watching 3 hours a day of the worst TV you've ever seen, you know? Saturday morning cartoons where the show was 10 minutes long and there'd be 20 minutes of ads, And I grew up to be a guy who critiques advertising on television. You know, I didn't swallow all of it. People are smart. Kids know what's up, you know? And so I think that people shouldn't be too scared of what their kids are doing. But I also think that, like, the companies that run the social media sites have absolutely designed the sites to exploit us and to control us, to make us upset, to fill our, you know, minds and our eyes with crap that we don't want to see, and to try to get us to do stuff that we don't want to do, and to try to influence our behavior. They are definitely creating systems designed to addict us.
There was that chilling Netflix.
The social dilemma. I've boiled it down to, or at least part of social media to me, is this. Hey, that really cool thing that you did, somebody already did it, and they did it better than me. So there you go.
Yeah.
And that's what it's turned into for me.
Yeah, that's what the comments are every time.
I wanted to ask you about getting sober. You look like you've trimmed up a little bit, or at least since Adam, was that partially that?
I mean, I quit drinking before the final season, between the next to the last season and the final season. And when I look at those two seasons, like on television, I have trouble watching the previous one because I'm like, ooh, I don't look good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm objectively, when I quit drinking, I lost 15 pounds like that.
Yeah.
And it never came back. And look, I don't think I was a bad looking guy, 15 pounds heavier or anything. But when I look back, I also looked unhealthy, you know?
Yeah.
And it made a huge difference. And, you know, I've continue working out and eat well and stuff like that. But I mean, I was drinking for, 15 years. I was a nightcap drinker, you know? I have one or two.
Right.
In reality, that means three or four.
Right.
Every drink you have, you're actually having two drinks. I don't know if you realize this, especially if you're pouring it yourself.
I'll have
one whiskey. Well, if you poured that yourself, you had three, you know?
That's
like
true.
One drink is like this much. It's a little bit. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you go to a bar, you ask for a glass of wine, they pour you two glasses of wine in a single glass. And, you know, I thought, I just like drinking. And I eventually realized, I was addicted. Okay. Like, that's what made me quit was I was like, wait, hold on a second. I haven't gone a day without having a drink in like 10 years. And I'm actually frightened of the idea of trying to go to sleep without having a drink. And I eventually realized, that's crazy. I don't want to live like that. And I just experimented. Let me try to not have a drink, tonight and then for another couple nights. And I started sleeping better immediately. I felt after like a couple days where I had like the DTs and I was like, then I once I got over that, I was like, everything got better. Right. And now I don't miss it. Surprisingly.
It's an amazing thing. My brother's been sober for years and years and years now. He was able to do his job very well and still drink, which is a problem because there was no glaring, sirens going off. And it seems like, you might have been in that situation too, competently performing your job. And so there was no, hey, where were you? You didn't show up.
This is what I used to do in this hour of stand-up. I talked about how, we divide everybody in America into alcoholics and moderate drinkers.
Right.
And moderate drinkers, we can drink as much as we want whenever we, we're totally fine. Alcoholics, those are those sad few people. They got to go to the sad basement and drink the coffee in the tiny cup in the circle and tell the stories. And they can never drink again because they have a disease. But the rest of us, we're moderate drinkers, and that means we can drink as much as we want all day long. And my theory is that actually I think more people in America, forget the word alcoholic.
Yeah.
I think a massive number of people are addicted to alcohol and don't realize it. When you go to a game, right, you guys went to the World Series last night, right? How many people spent $1,500 for a ticket and then as soon as they got there said, I got to get in the beer line. I got to have a beer.
Yeah.
And then probably waited there 40 minutes to get one or two beers. They probably bought two. So they're like, I don't want to go back in line. I know I'm going to need to have both of these, right?
Yeah.
Like once I quit and I started going to events like that, I was like, this is crazy. These people need to look at what they're doing to themselves.
Yeah.
This is nothing but addiction. This is the same as like a smoker standing out in 10 degree weather, in the parking lot because they got to have one.
Yeah.
$17 beers, by the way. Thank you very much. Last night at the game. Let me see. Oh, man, there was another question. I was going to bring up the soccer thing.
That's what I was going to ask.
Because
you have a dilemma.
Yes, I do have a dilemma.
So you've got the Philadelphia Union.
Yes.
Taking on LAFC.
Yes.
Tomorrow, the championship.
I know.
You're an LAFC fan.
And look where
Philadelphia.
I am. In Philadelphia. I know. I had the weekend booked and we went, and then I looked at, hold on a second. We're going pretty far in the playoffs. When is the cup game? Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Philadelphia. I'm like, I'm not going to cancel the weekend. I don't want to deprive the good people of Philadelphia of all of this comedy, but I'm going to. Yeah. I have season tickets to LAFC. Yeah.
So you need a safe space to watch this game.
I do.
I believe you tweeted out about this.
I do.
Okay.
All as congenial and just simply a man wanting to wear a jersey, right?
Yeah, where can I wear this jersey and I'm not going to get beer poured all over me is the question.
I don't know.
You don't think my hotel room is that the best
spot? How far is the drive to New York City?
You know what? The team has been so great. And, and it's had here, the Union has been such a systematic build.
Yeah.
And
great team.
The stadium's great and everything, and it's it's always been sort of that redheaded stepchild, soccer, and now we're it's and being embraced
yeah.
in this way. So the passion runs high.
Yes.
So go to Xfinity Live in South Philly and wear the LAFC jersey and an Astros hat. You'll be fine.
I saw two people. You know, I flew in yesterday. I was walking around, you know, the neighborhood. It was gorgeous outside, yeah. and everyone's in Philly's gear. And then I saw a couple in Astros jerseys, matching Astros jersey, yeah. and I got so mad. I was like, "What?" And I'd been in town 5 minutes, and I was like, "Cheater! You cheaters! What are you doing?" And I was like, okay, I cannot wear my LAFC jersey outside. I'll do that from my hotel room and root for the team.
So you're a season ticket holder?
I'm a season ticket holder, yeah. Wow. Because like you said, I was never even a big soccer fan. I just, one of my friends took me to one of the LAFC games. And I was like, this is the best in-stadium experience I've ever had. It's so good. We've got, you know, the whole supporter section is like singing and chanting the entire time. Everybody's so into it.
Yeah.
And like the games are super fun to watch.
And there's no way to get that unless you go and see it.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't immediately translate well on television.
I agree.
Right.
It's the biggest drop-off from live TV in any sport.
Right, right.
It's phenomenal. I went to a Union game a few weeks ago and just had a ball. And while I was there, I was talking to the guy that is the head of our super fans. They're called the
Sons of Ben, right?
The Sons of Ben. Yeah. And the interesting thing about the Sons of Ben is that they existed 2 years before the team did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to help lure the team to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They created and established this base.
Yeah.
And that's how diehard they are.
I love
amazing.
It. And I love how much power the fans have in soccer. You know, like there are times when there are examples where the supporters groups will like go on strike because they're pissed at the team and stuff like that. And then, you know, there's no sound system usually in MLS games or in most soccer games. It's just the fans chanting. So if those supporters groups decide, hey, we don't feel like supporting this week because we're mad at the team for some reason, makes a huge impact. And I love that. That's not true in, you know, fans in baseball don't have any power over the team. But, like, you know, to have these powerful groups. And, yeah, Philly Union has been, like, such a success story.
So are you a Ted Lasso fan?
I like Ted Lasso. I enjoy the show. I got some friends who write on it. It's a quality show for sure.
Very cool.
I wish there was more soccer in Ted Lasso. That's my only problem. I'm for real. They go like, we got a big game today, and then they'll like cut to them walking back into the locker room, going, "Oh, that was a rough one." I'm like, show us some of the sport that you're talking about the entire game.
Well, Rob McElhenney's a friend of the show, and he was, you know, the Welcome to Wrexham, the reality show, was really great.
And I haven't seen it yet.
It's again, it shows how that, you know, it was hard, I guess, for people on this side of the Atlantic to understand why it's just entrenched in the lifestyle, and the show does a good job of indicating why it means so much, you know?
Oh, it's so cool. I mean, I was shooting, I was doing a Nickelodeon game show called The Crystal Maze, and we were shooting that in Bristol in the UK, and I went to the local team there, and it's not, you know, it's like whatever the second or third level of British soccer,
right?
And it was just like, oh, what a great, like, neighborhood team. What if minor league baseball actually mattered? And you went to a minor league baseball game and people really cared, and it wasn't just where they trashed all the injured players, you know, from the major league teams. It was such good vibes, and the culture of it is what I like about sports. That's why I love a good sports city like Philly, where people like actually care. Here on the West Coast, people don't really like sports like people do out here. Coming to a real sports city like Philly, it's incredible.
Nice. By the way, Adam, if somebody does want to reach out to you and offer up a place for you to go and watch the game in your jersey tonight, should they reach out via Twitter?
Yeah, Adam Conover or on Instagram or Twitter is a great
place.
Just
make sure it's not a trap. Do you see Admiral Akbar?
Yeah,
Well, listen, Adam's going to be at Helium tonight and tomorrow. Our show's at 7:30 and 10 p.m. And, of course, you can get tickets at heliumcomedy.com. And the G Word, where can we see that?
That's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, and please come to the show. I know it's during a World Series game tomorrow night. The one tonight, no games, as far as I know. So please come to that.
This stuff is very smart and very funny. So people have a good time. So
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you being here. Adam Conover, guys. Yeah! The show, Helium Comedy Club. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dracky Bam Bam, the world's tallest elf. I'm asking that you join me as MMR rocks the 41st annual Delaware Valley Abate for the Kids Motorcycle Toy Run. It's happening this Sunday We're going to get the bikes lined up on Columbus Boulevard and Spring Garden right outside of Cavanaugh's River Deck starting at 9 a.m. And then at noon, I'll be waving that flag as your Grand Marshal, and I'm so honored. I will lead the parade of thousands and thousands of bikers on a 10-mile beautiful run with live bands playing along the route, including Vinyl Logic, Spare Parts, and Delco Boys. We'll end up at Rivers Casino, and that's where we'll deliver the new and unwrapped toys for the U.S. Marine Corps Toys for Tots program. I thank you so much as we crush it for the kids. And all the details are at WMMR.com. From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
All right, it is time for the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
You don't know if you have a sponsor.
I don't know if I have a sponsor or not. All right, well.
Did Casey leave for the day?
I think he's done for the day.
Wait, here comes Marissa.
Marissa, back up. I'm going to handle this right now. So let's see. I do have a sponsor.
Oh, that's exciting. Oh.
Yes. All right. Brought to you this morning by IBEW654. Join Jackie Bam Bam for the IBEW654's Toys for Tots Drive, Saturday, November 12th. From 11 to 1 at the Booth Wynn Union Hall at 3729 Chichester Avenue. And you can get into the spirit of the giving, get into the spirit of giving this holiday season. There we go. Residents of a sleepy village say that they have been left petrified after a dive bombing bird named Derek carried out.
Derek?
They named him?
Multiple attacks on innocent children. That is correct. This is in England. The jackdaw, which is the type of bird he is, which some have branded a menace, has been causing safety concerns in Rossington, South Yorkshire. During the latest incident, a woman said that Derek had tried to swoop on her children while they were in her garden, adding that there would be hell to pay if they were harmed.
Damn that, Derek.
And another resident said that the small black crow had forced workers to flee indoors after it ambushed them and caused absolute terror. Villagers are divided as to whether the bird is domesticated or wild, and some have even shown support for it, describing Derek as their local mascot. But most have voiced concern at its persistent raids on their community and now believe the bird should be locked up.
Well, it's
up
kind of a conundrum because you don't want to beat up a bird, but, you know, it can be a quality of life issue.
Jackdaws, by the way, which number about 1.4 million in the UK, are members of the crow family. They are smaller than their cousins, the rook, carrion crow, and raven. They commonly nest in chimneys, rocks, tree holes, and small crevices. But this guy, Derek, is being a dick. A woman who became stuck in her basement when a sofa she was moving got jammed into the stairwell had to be rescued by the fire department. Melissa was moving the sofa into the basement with the help of her partner, Todd, when it became stuck. Daughter Claire found her mom trapped on the wrong side of the sofa and tried to help before giving up.
Pivot!
Yeah. Melissa, a preschool teacher, was stuck in the basement for almost 3 hours while Claire and Todd tried to dislodge a handrail from the wall in hopes of freeing her.
Anyone who's ever moved furniture has encountered moments where they thought they might get locked into a room forever.
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Man.
All right, so Todd even made a hole in the wall of trying to get the sofa into the basement, but to no avail. Eventually, the family had to call the firefighters. The fire brigade successfully got the handrail off of the wall by wriggling through a hole. Claire said, "I thought it was hilarious. My parents did not think it was funny. My dad was mad because of the damage, and my mom thought she was never getting out." So, yeah,
had
she
to
got
call the fire department. They had to call,
yeah.
You just see an arm sticking
fire
out front
department.
Of the couch.
Holy cow, it's the fire department.
A woman claimed that she was, this is a terrible story, that she was burning a witch when she set fire to a camper over the summer, and she's pleaded guilty to murder and arson. Crystal Wilson pleaded guilty in court on Monday to second-degree intentional murder and first-degree arson. She faced up to 37 years in prison.
Wilson, was it, in fact, a witch?
Well, she went to a camper van to obtain meth and alcohol. After using
meth witch
in the camper with the victim, Wilson said she stabbed him multiple times with a butcher knife.
Oh, boy.
She went unconscious and then woke up to find the victim, who was cold to the touch. She grabbed a lighter and lit the camper on fire. She said she thought she was burning a witch.
Wait, it was a man, though?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be his name. Is Chip, he was a Chip Witch.
or a warlock.
Yeah, warlock. Right, a warlock.
Charges say that when officers searched the camper, they found no butcher knife present, but did retrieve a pair of needle-nose pliers.
Drugs make you do crazy things, don't they?
They make you just a little bit crazy.
Oh, man.
She's going to be sentenced on January 20th. Miami man was arrested early Monday after ramming his vehicle into a home, endangering the seven people inside. Deputies said
there are witches in there.
They arrived at a home after receiving reports of a burglary happening there. And upon arriving, deputies found the front entrance had been severely damaged and a black 2013 Ford Explorer with damage to its front end was parked in the yard. Approaching the home, deputies found 46-year-old Nissan Ortega, mm-hmm. who was drunk and rolling around on the floor inside of the home. What are you doing, son?
Rolling around.
Ortega was later handcuffed and sent to the hospital. Deputies say that when they spoke to Ingrid Alas, Ortega's ex-wife, who told them that Ortega had shown up around 2 a.m. demanding to be let inside, but she refused. Alas, said Ortega.
Alas,
said Ortega. had left about a year ago due to his violent tendencies, and she believed that he became upset, backed his car up across the street before accelerating into the home, which could have killed her or her other, the kids in the house. He drove it into the house. So
his son, however, showed up later.
He is, alas, and however, he's facing seven counts of attempted murder.
Wow.
In that. All right, then we'll have time for one more story, and I think we can end with this one. A drunken man claimed to be Hollywood film character Jason Bourne.
Oh.
Before stripping off his shirt and swearing at police officers.
I thought that was fictional.
Paul Stevens admitted to a charge of being drunk and disorderly when he appeared before the magistrate's court. Stevens said he had been drinking when officers were alerted to reports of a drunken man staggering in the road. Officers approached to speak to him, but he started to swear at them and tell them he was Jason Bourne, the character from the Hollywood film series, of course, played by Matt Damon.
I get to make one call. I'm calling John Wick.
Paul Donnie, who was prosecuting, said an officer tried to engage him with Stevens and explained that he wanted to talk to him, but the defendant started to swear, said his name was Jason Bourne. And then he said the shouting and swearing continued, and the defendant then took his shirt off to talk about his tattoos.
Take a look at these.
Mr. Doney said that the defendant threw his jacket over a barrier and told officers to fetch it. And then
see, that says Preston and Steve.
He climbed over the barrier himself. The prosecutor said the shouting and swearing continued in front of members of the public. And they arrested him.
What's that monkey doing?
Yeah. It's between my nipples. I don't ever recall Jason Bourne cursing in any of the movies.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. No. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Hey, by the way, we have a new Daily Rush video. We have a second Daily Rush. There's two new ones up. Kyle is working his
butt. Kyle's the man.
Here. He's our new video guy. Kyle Mack. You know him as Wide Angle Kyle.
Do you have an email address yet?
I don't know.
Not yet. Okay.
So two videos. There's the Michael Imperioli Daily Rush, which is up. I mentioned that earlier this morning. And the Taron Killam, the NFL pylon conversation.
Two fun interviews.
Yep. And the description is former SNL cast member Taron Killam shares what it's like hosting his new Amazon Prime sports comedy show, his predictions for the Eagles this season, and what it's like to be married to an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you can check out the newest Daily Rush video. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's sponsored by Xfinity's Gig Speed Internet. You can learn more at Xfinity.com. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. Lesson, question, trash, music, news. Those things are up next. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh, it's Friday.
No sad, bro.
No sad, bro.
There's a hint of sad. I mean, the yeah. Phils didn't yeah. win last night. There is a hint of sad. We're staying positive because there's two games left to go. They've won in Houston before.
They did well.
And so we can go back-to-back wins, definitely. But it just feels a little bit of sad. But we're trying to press that aside since it is a Friday. So we're counterbalancing those two things together. Nonetheless, doing our Friday things. We'll give away our Word of the Week prize in a little bit. Your chance to win coming up. Looks like finally here in Bella Kidwin, at least the fog has finally burned off, which is great because we have a beautiful day on tap, like 75 degrees and partly cloudy skies. It's going to be wonderful. 77 tomorrow, 78 on Sunday. I can't believe we're going to be almost 80 degrees in November. That's very rare.
Leading into the camp out, that's wonderful news.
Yeah. For like our crew that's assembling the facility there, weather's going to be great.
And the car event is on Sunday as well. It's going to be spectacular.
Philatrunk is taking place on Sunday, and we encourage you to come down and see all these amazing vehicles, these car clubs, and got started by the Porsche Club of America. And gates open at 10 a.m. Spectators welcome to check out all the cars. And car clubs are going to drive through and donate throughout the event. So make sure you come go by and see those guys tomorrow. Burger Brawl has been canceled or possibly rescheduled.
I talked to Rob Wasserman, who is the head muckety-muck of the whole thing. They're going to try to morph it into something so that everyone can get some burger goodness. But the event, as you know it, not happening this year. But news is pending. He's going to try to work out something. I was really looking forward to it because I was going to stock up our RV, Preston, with tons of burgers.
No, I was looking forward to that too. But
I know
it's all good, man. All right, lesson question time. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Paul Reiser. He will be at the Keswick on November 11th. The question: I had several of them that I could choose from today, and I liked them all. And I'm kind of in a
conundrum, a quandary.
Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? Give me early, middle, or late?
How about, want to give it to Kathy?
Yeah, Kathy, middle. You pick.
All right, middle. So we'll go with one that's about 7:30 this morning. When he's hanging out at Xfinity Live, what kind of drink does Sly Stallone like to order? Or he was Rambo or whoever. 215-263-WMMR. When he's hanging out at Xfinity Live, what kind of drink does Sly Stallone like to order? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you were listening.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Monster Mania. You can see the biggest names in horror at Monster Mania Con 52. At the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. That's in Oaks, and it's on November 11th through the 13th. Tickets available online at monstermania.net. What's happening, Steve?
Well, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson have apparently completely moved on and have not communicated in a while. Davidson says he really misses just talking with Kim, and by talking, he means anal.
Oh, my God. Hey.
76-year-old Cher and 36-year-old music exec Alexander Edwards were seen holding hands while strolling in West Hollywood. Friends say Cher is fascinated with Edwards because he was born the very same year she stopped having periods.
No.
And finally, actress... actress Asha Cooper. Actress Asha Cooper of Chicago Med will not be part of the cast of the popular show next season. Cooper will apparently be joining the cast of Chicago Unemployment. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, thank you, Steve. All right, let's see if we do indeed have a caller. When he's hanging out at Xfinity Live, Sly Stone likes to order this, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to William, see if we can get an answer. Hey, William.
Hey, how you doing? Eugene!
Yeah. Eugene! That was a Eugene?
Yeah.
All right, nice. All right, what does he like to order, William?
It's Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple. Sometimes two of them. Yeah. All right, William, hang on. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to see Paul Reiser Friday, November 11th, Keswick Theater in Glenside. And tickets are on sale now via AXS.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you by Campbell's Chunky Sacks Hunger. Proud sponsor of the Camp Out for Hunger. You can team up with Chunky and this year's Soup Squad to help sack hunger in our community. So items from Taylor Hawkins' tribute concert will be going up for auction. Various pieces of gear used in two recent tribute concerts for the late Foo Fighters drummer will be auctioned off next week, and proceeds will be donated to Music Cares and Music Support. The auction, organized by world-breaking auction house To the Stars, Julian's Auctions, will be taking place at the Hard Rock Cafe in New York and online via the Julian's Auctions website for next Friday. I didn't see any of the items listed, but there was a lot of cool stuff. A lot of really awesome drum kits were there.
Does Music Cares primarily focus in on addiction issues, or just is it sort of an umbrella for anything that affects musicians?
I don't know. Proceeds donated to Music Cares and Music Support. So those are two different organizations. Right. Steven, I'm sorry, but I don't know the answer to that.
I just was wondering if it was very focused or if it's just something more general.
Yeah, that's a good question. Måneskin's Demiano David has opened up about the accusations of censorship surrounding the band's performance at the MTV VMAs back in August. Photos taken during the band's performance of their hit Supermodel. In it appeared that bassist Victoria De Angelis suffered a wardrobe malfunction with her top falling down around her waist. The cameras panned away to focus on empty seats for about 40 seconds. For the rest of the performance, they frequently cut away from the band to show an aerial shot of the arena instead. David,
a Google map,
said he puts VMA censorship down to prejudices towards rock bands and towards women. He said there is a lot of work on, there's a lot to work on.
There's a lot of that. You gotta make it sure that this gets fixed. I'm there with my ace hanging out and nobody shows in the pictures.
And we try to do our part. He went on and said, it's sad, but it's good that people then talk about it and think about it. It's stupid that there has to be this control and censorship over people's bodies.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to finish my donkey.
She is she's a knockout.
She's sexy. Yep.
That's not the first time that she's worn next to nothing on stage.
Yep. Yep, that's kind of her thing.
Yeah.
We're looking at the pictures.
Let's
right
just
now.
Stop the show for a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, hang on.
During a recent chat, Sammy Hagar commented on Wolfgang Van Halen's remark that Van Halen was too dysfunctional to play a tribute show for Eddie Van Halen. So Sammy said, Alex Van Halen and I don't talk. I reached out again to Alex recently. Mike, meaning Michael Anthony, I had a sad thing happen in his family, and I reached out to Al, and he wouldn't return my call or my email. And so I said, you know what? F it. It's not on the top of my list, my agenda. I think Eddie deserves, definitely, a tribute, and the whole world would show up, and the whole world would do it. I don't know why people put it on Roth, meaning David Lee Roth. He said, I don't talk to Dave, and if he did it, he'd want to do it without me, and I'm sure that's part of the dysfunction that Wolfie's talking about. He wanted to say, I'll make a statement that I don't know is true or not, but what you do, what do you want to bet? He goes like this. I will only do it if Hagar is not there, meaning David Lee Roth. And if that were the case, that's typical Roth, and that's part of the dysfunction. It's not like he controls it. It's just that he doesn't play well with others. And like I said, if Alex came to me and wanted to do it, I'm in. Absolutely. Let's go and do it somehow. But Alex has got to stick up his ass about something with me still, and he's going to take it to his grave, I guess.
Man, that's always been sort of the rumor about Alex Van Halen.
Yep. He said, I made peace with Eddie before he died, but I don't think I made peace with Al, and I don't think I'm going to unless he reaches back out to me, and I've done it about five times now or so.
I would see a completely Sammy Hagar version of Van Halen's show. You know, I mean, they had great stuff.
They did. There were some great songs out of that catalog, for sure. But I believe him, too. I believe him about the Alex Van Halen thing, which is too bad. Too bad. And then finally, released today is the deluxe reissue of John Mellencamp's 1985 classic Scarecrow.
That's a great album.
Yeah, the new box set includes two CDs of newly remixed and remastered songs, plus previously unreleased bonus tracks.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog.
And alternate versions.
And she also included Scarecrow.
A booklet full of rare photographs and all new liner notes by acclaimed author and music critic Anthony DeCurtis. Did you guys go make Scarecrows this year?
No.
No, I didn't.
I wanted to.
I know.
It's a fall activity.
I know.
Because it rained on the Saturday that we were supposed to go, and theirs was rain or shine.
There's rain on the Scarecrow?
Blood on the plow?
Oh, my God.
So Can we make a want to make a Christmas scarecrow?
Yeah, we can totally do that. We should do that, Steve. Maybe we'll do our own holiday.
We'll do
activity.
It right here during the show.
Me and Steve.
We'll set a table out. I'll bring in my bedazzler,
like a scare elf or something like that.
Scare elf.
A Christmas scarecrow would be a snowman.
Oh, that's snow.
Yes, it would. You need snow for it, but that would be a snowman.
Is the purpose of a snowman to scare crows off the crops?
What about a hayman?
Hayman.
Oh! That's what it would be. I like hayman better.
You can make a hayman?
Yeah.
Okay. Scarecrow was released on August 5th, 1985, and spent a whopping 28 weeks in the Billboard Top 10. The album spent 3 weeks at number two. Three top 10 hits. He had R.O.C.K. in the USA. That was the highest charting one at number two, followed by Lonely Old Night and Small Town at number six.
Great.
Rain on the Scarecrow, number 21, and Rumble Seat was at number 20.
And Christmas Scarecrow was another hit.
Yes.
Though, as great as that album is, I'm going to say Lonesome Jubilee is better.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a great album, too. Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's all I have in music news this morning. We're going to take a break. When we return, we'll get the letter of the day, the word of the week, and give that prize away. So hang out with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And probably other places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Friday morning, we are at the end of our broadcast week, and the end of us being here in this studio for a little bit, a little while.
Yeah.
We're taking it on the road as Camp Out for Hunger is coming up on
the journey begins.
Yeah, it does.
Back fully. Yeah. And then some, I say, because we have, there's a couple tricks we picked up over the past couple of years. We're going to employ them, but the Camp Out will be back full band. You said the full tent.
Yeah.
Like, and you forget how goddamn big that was.
Mm-hmm. And all the bands returning to perform live. So, you know, we'll kick off Monday morning with Chico's Vibe. It's kind of our tradition with those guys. But a few other great acts, some new ones this year that are going to be a part of it.
Yeah. And what's really cool is that years and years and years ago, the thought was, okay, people are coming down, as you said, you were describing it, Preston. We got to do so. We got to give them something to do. We got to. You know, if they're making the time to come by and make donations, you reward them for that.
Yeah.
And hence the carnival you're going to see beginning Monday.
A little bit of a party that happens. So we hope that you will be a part of it. It's our 25th year of doing it, and so we're excited about it. I would like to thank our guest this morning, Adam Conover.
Yeah!
From Adam Ruins Everything. He is, he's got his stand-up show tonight and tomorrow at Helium Comedy Club, and he was just the nicest guy.
He was really good.
He's a talker. He's very, very smart, very funny. And we were happy to have him by here this morning. We're happy to have Pierre Robert in our studio, too.
And good day.
Nice to see you, sir.
I hear a little raspiness in your voice.
Yeah, man.
Were you yelling last night?
I was yelling last night. And even more so, just didn't get to bed till a ridiculous hour, so.
What hour?
A Pierre hour.
1:30, yeah. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, but I woke up at, 3:50 after going to bed at 1:30, so.
Wow.
That's how it works.
That's late for you.
Yeah, baby.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you, kid.
Thanks, man.
How you rally.
That's how you rally. You go to bed late, you get up early,
right,
and you have a couple shots of Jack.
Yeah.
We did have fun this morning.
Chili, get me my cold compress.
Exactly. Yeah. And a filterless cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Have a Camel.
And a camel? Like an actual animal?
Yeah, bring me an actual camel.
Bring me a camel,
I'm
going to
smoke that effort.
Light up a camel.
Yeah.
Make it a dromedary.
Or a pal mal. Pell mal.
Bring me a marsupial.
Pall mall.
Pall mall.
A lucky strike.
A lucky strike. LSMFT. Lucky strike means fine tobacco.
Ah.
That used to be on the side of every lucky strike.
Along with the doctor's recommendation.
Yes. Yeah. Along with the doctor's recommendation. More doctors smoke LSMFT. Lucky strike.
Okay.
It was on the side of every
pack.
pack okay. of Lucky Strikes, and they would advertise it on TV. LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. However, in our little Catholic grade school, we said loose straps mean flabby.
There you go. That's I'm surprised they didn't go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't go with that as their advertising campaign.
I like it, though.
Yeah. I would have loved that.
All right, we need a letter for
the
word.
Stories.
They are of the people.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
Y, as in yellow.
All right, and we'll take the third caller. 215-263-WMMR. All right. Why was that last letter? Let's see if you've been paying attention and you know the word. So it'll be the third caller. And we will let you take a shot at winning our Word of the Week prize.
You know what you could do, Pierre? The Pierre Home Companion.
There you go.
Oh, Pierre Home
Stories
Companion.
Stories from your life.
I like
yeah.
that.
Yes.
Like the Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah. Well,
an evening with Pierre.
That's an off-ramp. I yeah. like that.
Mm. There you go.
Pierre Home Companion. Yeah. NPR will welcome me with open arms.
There we go.
The show today.
Oh, right.
That, how about it?
We'll
how about that?
That. We'll have a block of the band, which will be fun, and a last pair of tickets for The Last Waltz with Warren Haynes of Government Mule Sunday at the Met. We will have a block of Queen, and the Hooters begin their annual two-night stand at the Keswick this evening and tomorrow night. Both shows are sold out. I will be hosting them, but we will have a block of the Hooters. So, a fun day.
Awesome. All right. Looking for a third caller, and it just so happens that I hit the right button, and it's Corey. Hi, Corey.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Corey, we need the word of the week. What is it?
It's happy.
Great day in the morning.
That is indeed correct. All right, Corey, hang on. We're going to set you up $500 from the Bagster.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Corey. Hang on. We'll get your information. We'll set you up. The Bagster, by the way, is by far the most convenient and affordable way to help with your home cleanup. Go buy it at any home improvement store, fill it, and simply schedule your collection, and it's gone. Clean it up with the Bagster dumpster in a bag. I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin'. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and by Trinity Rehab and locations all over and now open in King of Prussia, trinity-rehab.com. Next week, yep, it's Camp Out for Hunger.
Yes.
Food trucks and fireworks on that Wednesday. If there's a parade and we have to move it, we'll do it on Thursday. And we have guests coming by. The most important guest is going to be you. Please stop by and see us. And not just us. Pierre Robert and Brent Porsche will be broadcasting live as well.
Yeah.
So come by throughout the day and see all the staff members of MMR and help us out with our drive to end hunger in the area and give Phil Abundance some much-needed help. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great weekend. Go, Phils. And we will see you there on Monday, gang. Bye-bye.
WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map.
And then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole thing.
Houston, we have a problem.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.